allows through in that period of time. And today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
I thought indoor tanning was safe.
Right. They say their tanning rays were less likely to cause a sunburn.
What you need to know is that they can be worse. They can cause deeper skin damage because the lamps can emit more ultraviolet radiation than the sun.
Up to 15 times more.
15 times? Hello? Not only can UV rays cause skin cancer, but they can cause ugly, wrinkly skin and age spots.
So instead of making you look cool,
they can make you look like old.
And FYI, every year there are more than 1 million new cases of skin cancer.
Including melanoma, the deadliest form of skin cancer.
And the second most common cancer for women in their 20s. Yes, in their 20s. And treatment for skin
cancer can be surgery and sometimes even
chemotherapy and radiation.
But still, more than 10,000 people will die from skin cancer each year.
You don't want to be one of them. Don't be in the dark. Indoor tanning is out.
Be safe. Don't go there. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology. For more information, visit AAD.org.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address, 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
It slices, it dices, it's Car Windshield. And now, it can be yours. Next time you're in a car and the driver's driving recklessly, simply say nothing. Ignore that little voice in your head that's trying to warn you. And you too can experience Car Windshield. Car Windshield may not be for everyone, as it can lead to severe side effects and even death. Passengers who wish to avoid Car Windshield can do so by following simple steps, like speaking up and telling their friends to slow down.
There is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up. This has been a message from the Ad Council.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. Just to be close to you. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
Hey, new guy. Shovel, right?
Yeah, Ray. And I'm not exactly new. I've seen some action.
You're a shovel. Come on.
Oh, real nice coming from a rake. Ooh, get these heavy leaves off me. Hey, man, my last gig, I almost got electrocuted, nearly drowned, and went head-to-head with a metal pipe. That guy never called 811 to see if it was safe to dig.
It doesn't take the sharpest tool in the shed to call 811.
Our guy calls every time he digs. The mailbox, landscaping, the deck. Oh, man, that was a big job.
Oh, remember that?
Oh, that was a big one.
Yeah, remember.
Calls every time? Cool.
Calling 811 is so easy, any tool could do it. It's quick and easy. Calling 811 gets your underground utility lines marked for free. It makes every project safer for everyone. Calling 811 before digging prevents utility outages, legal hassles, and personal injury.
Hey, safe digging is no accident. Always call 811 before you dig.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Energy Care is once again providing window unit air conditioners for low-income families. The summer cooling program is for homebound St. Louis City and County residents who have a severe medical need for a cool environment. Energy Care staff will visit your home and install the air conditioner. To request or donate an air conditioner, call 314-773-5900. Something for you from WGNU.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business Much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about this morning. It's going to be quite a morning. Quite a morning. It's Thursday. That means that we have Eye on the Loo. That means we have Justice for Reggie. We are going to have an amazing discussion on Eye on the Loo. We're going to have an amazing discussion, and I kind of would like to connect you to the discussion. The discussion is one of a land grab. All the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, we talk about on this show the real, what is happening really in our country, in our world. I remember Bertha Gilkey on this show years ago saying, it's all about the land. Ask the indigenous people what it is about, and it is all about the land. Ask them what they were, Europeans came for. It's all about the land. Always all about the land. So too in the city of St. Louis, whether it is about the schools, that's wonderful prime real estate. What's one of the first things that Roberti did was came to town and started selling our property, baby. They got so excited about it. We're the only city in the country where the president of the historical society was trying to sell off historical property. As a member of the school board, that would be Bob Archibald, Bobby. So now we're moving to another piece of Team 4, the plan some 35 years ago. There is a bill that is percolating now. No, not percolating. It's already percolated through our good state government. And this bill is so important for the land grab. It's all about the land, baby. That there's a special session at the cost of taxpayers of about $100,000, I believe. Boy, Blunt is bringing people back to bringing elected officials back to Jefferson City to vote on this. Two things. One of them is this Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Act. And this special session begins on August 20th, which is next week. Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Act. Ouch. What does this do? It gives one person the ability to, Paul McKee, to just dig this, come into people's wards. Only in North St. Louis now. The way that this is structured is only in North St. Louis. Come into your ward, buy a property, get tax credits for it. No. He's already purchased the properties, and he's nothing but a slum lord. If you look at his buildings and talk to people around his community, slum lord. And he will be able to, without consultation with elected officials, without consultation with citizens, without consultation with anybody, start doing anything with the property that he wants to do with it. Now, some of you are thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Go ask that any elected official in any town, anywhere, and see if somebody can come into their community and do that, and then get tax breaks in doing that. Once again, y'all talked about, it's okay. Some of y'all talked about it's okay to take away the authority of the elected school board. I said they can't hold their belly in. You can't hold your belly in. They try to take away the power and the authority of the elected school board. You think the beast is satisfied with that? You think greed is satisfied with that? You think power is satisfied? Those who seek power above all at the expense of everything, you think those that are addicted to greed, you think they satisfied with a snack? No! Greedy people aren't satisfied with a snack. A snack is an appetizer for the real meal. So these people weren't satisfied with just trying to eliminate the authority of the elected school board. They're trying to eliminate the authority of everybody else. Okay, they'll start in North St. Louis by allowing people to build in North St. Louis without having to talk to anybody, any elected official. You think that's not coming to your hometown? Coming to your streets? Of course it is. It's all about the land, baby. And we're going to be talking about that. And guess who's mixed up in this land grab? Guess who is part of the ease of the grease of the ease of this? Taladeen Elamine. I'm telling you, you think 40,000? Poof, poof, poof. Poo. You think it was just $40,000 that Taladeen Elamine took? Oh, no, baby, no, baby, no, baby, no. He's up in this, too. He's up in this, too. Taking money for, oh, Lord. How much fixation on, no, how much commitment have you made to destroying your community? As Talib Gunn, he's part of this land grab in North St. Louis, allowing for land grab in North St. Louis. And so is Rodney, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, and in the Eye on the Loose segment, we will be talking about it. I will be joined by Alderwoman April Ford. I will be also joined by State Representative Jeanette Mox Oxford. I will also be joined by former Dean, current Alderman Charles Quincy Troop. We will be talking about what this means, and also that there is something that you can participate in. You want to see it, you want to understand what we're talking about, you can get on the bus today at 10 o'clock and be part of that. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We have much business to tend to. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather for this 6 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 at Bercher, that ramp to Riverview is still closed due to water main break. You can use Kings Highway or Union as an alternate at this hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. It is starting to stack up in the left lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic still rolling well from the gravel pit all the way into the landing. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is starting to slow down a bit, but everything is still running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Highway K, look for everything to be running in pockets at the speed limit. And you're hitting the brakes, though, somewhere around mid-rivers all the way at the 370 mark. Northbound 270 at 44, look for delays there. And then again at the 70 exits, look for slowdowns in the right-hand lanes. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for slowdowns. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill into 255, look for delays there. Northbound 55 at 3200 South Broadway, all the way into 44. You're running in the speed limit until you hit that 44 interchange. And westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and this weekend. A heat advisory is still in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, very hot, partly cloudy, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs around 101 with the highest heat index around 105 by late morning or early afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-70s. Friday, partly cloudy, hot with a high in the upper 90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70s. Then Saturday, partly sunny, high in the mid-90s. Sunday, mostly cloudy, so there's a chance of showers on Sunday with a high only around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 81 and mostly cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
S.
Seven Signs Masonry. 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business. Seven Signs. 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU.
Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
My bad brother, I love you. I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever too. Cause you're my bad brother, strong brother. And there is no one above you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. You want to email me? Do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You want to know? Oh, there's so much stuff. There's so much stuff I want you to know. You want to know? I want you to know. You want to know? I want you to know. Oh, there's so much. There's so much stuff out here. All right. We're going to have an amazing show today. We're going to have a truly, deeply, absolutely amazing show today. You are fasten your seatbelts for Eye on the Loo. We're going to have a room full of elected officials, none of whom have been consulted about this. We're going to hear a story of intrigue and connection. We're going to hear a story of buddy hustle. We're going to hear a story of conflict of interest. We're going to hear stories of, I'm not even sure if some of this stuff is legal, going on in the effort to make money grabs all over the city of St. Louis. No, not, what am I saying, all over the city of St. Louis? In North St. Louis. We have Charles Quincy Troop, former dean of the up in Jefferson City. Now a alder person for the first ward. April Ford is going to be here, alder woman of the fifth ward. And then we have Jeanette Mox, Oxford state representative, who has been in on this. I am pleased to say, and one of the, that's one of the things I want to talk about is the courage of an April Ford, the courage of a Quincy Troop, and also the courage of a Jeanette Mox Oxford, who's her area is not even in North St. Louis, but she voted against this. One of a handful of elected officials in Jefferson City to vote against this. And we're going to talk about why. We're going to talk about the cost of this and the explanations that have been given for others for why they didn't vote against this. You know, we see people out here hustling this, talking about that this is important to them. Then why did you vote for it twice? Twice. Twice. Oh, we have a lot to talk about. We certainly do have a lot to talk about. A land grab in North St. Louis by a governor that is crafting out one law that's going to help one white guy. Just like the first thing that Rick Sullivan did, Boy George Light. Let me see which rich white man needs some money because that's the first thing I'm going to do if I'm appointed against the law to this position of this on this illegal board. Let me see which white rich white guy needs some money. And so he gave money to an entity, Aramark, that caused our district to have the lowest rating for public school lunches of any district, any large district in the country. Good looking out, Ricky. Good looking out, Ricky. We're going to talk about this, and I want you to understand that while this it may feel like a local issue, it is and it isn't. It is, and 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 it isn't. You have been pushed and shoved and molded and faked into some positions that you hold. And it didn't just start here on the level of state government. Boy George's administration has spent $1.6 billion from 2003 through the second quarter of 2005. Now, I'm not exactly a math major. But 2003 to 2005 is 2003, 4, 5. It's 2 years. It's 2 years. How much money did this administration spend? $1.6 billion in 2 years. What'd they spend it on? They spent it on public relations firms, advertising agencies, media organizations, and individuals. Why? To get you to see, to feel, to think a certain way. It's a 154-page report. 154-page report. 'Cause they want you to think a certain way. And this is not just putting together some cassette videotapes. The contracts covered the waterfront from a $6.3 million agreement to help the Department of Homeland Security to a $647,000 contract to the Transportation Security, producing a video news release and media tours on airport security procedures, to a $6,000 contract to train managers at the Bureau of Reclamation in dealing with the media. Jesus God, they want you to think a certain way, and they're going to take all your money to make sure that you think that way. They're going to take all your money to make sure that you think that way. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? The same is happening here in the city of St. Louis. The same is happening here in the city of St. Louis. I want to know why we haven't heard when Talib El Amin held a town hall meeting. I want to know why he wasn't talking about this land grab. Oh, maybe it's because he got $5,000 from the attorney that represents this guy. maybe that's why there was a news whiteout on that. There's going to be a gathering of elected officials in St. Louis all about reclamation. Okay. Ask them. Okay, there's going to be a Sherman Park Community Day service. Lacey Clay is going to be there, and so are some other elected officials, State Representative Rodney Hubbard, Talib El Amin. Ask them why they voted for the land grab in North St. Louis. You want to be part of cleaning up, revitalizing Sherman Park? Ask them why you voted to take away power and give away land in North St. Louis. Oh, and ask them why they took, between the two of them, some $20,000 from the law firm representing the dude that is working to take away your land. Ask them that. Ask them that. That's Saturday, August 25th. Ask them. Need to ask them some questions. And all y'all that know about his $40,000 action, y'all need to ask them. I want to know. Tell me. I know why George W. Bush, Boy George, spent $1.5 billion on media. Because he wants you to think a certain way. It's all about crafting the lie and the prettiest package. Don't let elected officials get away with that. None of you are supposed to allow elected officials because they're stealing your stuff. It's not just that they're telling you a pretty lie. They're stealing your stuff. And acting like you stupid. I think you stupid. Will.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You hit something that's very close to me, and that it's the that $1.5 billion. You know, people don't spend money on things that don't work, and for the most part. And
well, unless you're like building stuff down in New Orleans. I mean,
exactly.
they get paid to do stuff that doesn't work.
Exactly. And you said it. You pretty much said it. It's actually a form of social engineering and behavior manipulation. And when I have conversations like this, many people, because I think it's ego involved, don't want to believe things like that. They say, oh, I make up my own mind. And people don't really realize just how much of your views are socially engineered. And now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this, and I'm saying $1.5 billion in 2 years, and the first thing that came to my mind was healthcare. You know what I'm saying? This healthcare system we're talking about, can you imagine what could have been done with $1.5 billion over 2 years for health care?
Well, that's what they were asking for, a few billion dollars to fix all of the infrastructure and schools all across this country.
Exactly. So when people sit here, now how can somebody honestly sit back and think about this and say, well, that's a reasonable, you know, a reasonable justification to spend my money on media when you do have these other social problems out here?
And ask yourself this, if somebody takes money from a media company that advocates against something and works on behalf of something that you are opposed to, what does that say about you? And I mean that specifically, Jamila Nasheed takes money from Vector Communications. Vector Communications works hand in fist and glove with Slay's administration for the dismantling of this school district. What does
exactly.
that say? What does that say? Whose side are you on?
Exactly.
All money ain't good money. And when you give $1,000 to somebody that is in opposition to the issues of a public education, what does that say?
Exactly. And we really need to pay attention to issues like this. I mean, for the most part, the American public is starting to get kind of what it deserves because we've become so lax in letting people do these type of things. And it's mind-boggling. But I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, it points out what I like to discuss a lot is the social manipulation, the social engineering aspect that goes on in the society constantly.
And got to roll. Will, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Do you know there are thousands of children in the St. Louis area who are struggling to learn to read? If you are age 50 or older, enjoy working with children, and have an hour a week to volunteer, you could help one of these children as an OASIS tutor, mentor, and friend. Training, materials, and ongoing support are provided by school districts throughout the area. To see how you can help a child in a school near you, call 314-995-9506. Something for you from WGNU.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
a natural man.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Please don't forget that we are there will be a wonderful opportunity for you to find out what's going on with the fire issues. Absolutely wonderful opportunity for you to find out what's going on with the fire issues. How do you do that? On Wednesday, that next Wednesday at 6 o'clock, come on down to 1020 North Taylor and find out what all the smoke is about. You need to come on down about the promotions, about what's happening to Chief George, about what Francis Lay is doing to our community with respect to our first African fire chief. You need to know about the lawsuits. You need to know why they filed it. You need to know why it matters to you. Come down to fire. That's 1020 North Taylor. That's the fire headquarters, 1020 North Taylor, St. Louis, Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And please don't forget about our advertisers. Come on now. I love the love that you give me on the air. That's cool. That's wonderful. It feels good. I can't lie. It feels good. But show some love to the advertisers, because I wouldn't be here but for the advertisers. I know you're hungry. Get on down to Archie's All-American Cafe at 6277 Del Mar today. Get down there for a chili dog, a St. Louis dog, a kraut dog, a Reuben dog, a pizza dog, a cheese dog, a chili cheese dog, a Hawaiian dog, hot dog topped with pineapple salsa. You can get your choice of beef, soy, or turkey. Get on down to Archie's. It's right there in the loop at 6277 Del Mar. Also, tomorrow is Fish Friday. That means from 5 o'clock to midnight, all the fish fry. Come on down to the fish fry at Archie's All-American Cafe. And they take call-in orders, too, at 678-3397, 678-3397. Open Monday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Archie's All-American Cafe, 6277 Del Mar. And also, don't forget, I know you need your carpet clean. It's time to send the kids off to school. Let's get the carpet clean. Let's get the inside environment ready for their little precious minds and bodies to get to school and learn properly. You want to deal with their asthma? Get your carpets clean from Russell, a professional carpet and upholstery cleaner. The number is 315-7075. 315-7075. If you listen to the show, you hear all the people calling in and talking about the amazing job that Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning does. Free estimates, wonderful job, in and out, great, extraordinary equipment. Get your stuff done. Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Call him, 315-7075. Support the advertiser. You tell me you got big love for me, we'll show big love by going to our advertisers. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Oh, yes, you do. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to have an amazing hour. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by local elected officials galore. We have much business to tend to, and we're going to get that done. Talking about the land grab in North St. Louis. And it's an amazing little journey. It's an amazing journey that we have elected officials that are getting money from law firms that are representing this land grab. And coincidentally, those elected officials are voting in favor of this law. Isn't that interesting? We also have former mayors, our first black mayor, lobbyist for the guy that's trying to get all the land in North St. Louis. Interesting, isn't it? We also have a lobbyist for St. Louis City, also a lobbyist for this guy. Gets deep, don't it? Gets deep, doesn't it? You want to know why this stuff is going down? It's a land grab, and it's a land grab. It is the ultimate land grab. And everybody should be concerned about this. Ask yourself how a guy could come in and buy up all of this property in the city of St. Louis and have development plans and not talk to any of the elected officials. Would he do that in South St. Louis? I don't think he would. Team 4, baby. Team 4, baby. That's what we have going on. Team for baby, baby, baby. We're going to do a little historical walk down, the walk backwards in time. Don't know if you haven't walked backwards, you can't walk forwards. I'm telling you, if you haven't been there, you can't walk forward. Quincy Troop's going to talk to us about Alderman. Quincy Troop's going to talk to us about the Team 4 plan. Bertha Gilkey, I remember years ago coming on this show, all about the land, baby. Asked the indigenous people what it was about. Were they coming to take their beads and feathers? No, baby, they were coming for that land. And it's no different today. It's no different today. Next, on Monday, there's a special session being called by Matt Blunt. Two things he's going to consider. One of them is this issue. One of them is this specialized piece of legislation designed to benefit one man and one man only. And we're going to be talking about that piece of legislation today on Eye on the Loo. Yes, we are. I'm telling you, there are so many pieces of property, over 50 pieces of property, although Jeff Smith says that the lawyer for representing McGee, Paul McGee, his name, remember that name, write it down, the lawyer representing Paul McGee, says, no, there's only 40, no, there's less than 50. Now, come on, I'm a lawyer. You've seen enough lawyers on television. If I have a lawyer, you have a lawyer, your lawyer is over all your properties that you own, do you think anybody could call your lawyer up, should be able to call your lawyer up and say, so how many pieces of property does Liz Brown own? Kiss my grits, that's confidential, I'm not telling you nothing. So for Jeff Smith to come and tell us that he knows that there are 50 pieces of, or less than 50 pieces of property owned by this guy because the lawyer that represents him, the lawyer, by the way, that's given money to Talib El-Adin and also to Rodney Hubbard, who voted for this, if that lawyer tells you, do you believe that that lawyer would tell Jeff Smith or anybody else how many pieces of property his client has? Of course not. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Use your common sense. Bunk. He needs to be, and I understand why Jeff was talking to him, because he probably needs to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Interviewing attorneys to represent him for his criminal acts. He's too busy out there breaking the rules and breaking the law. Jeff Smith is. It's very hard to believe anything credible coming out of his mouth when he lied to get on the boat. He lied to get on the boat. And nobody's asked the question that needs to be asked. If you left your wallet at home, baby, and you didn't have your ID, so you broke the law to get on the boat, where'd you get the money from? Was it from the lobbyists? I just think somebody needs to ask the question, where'd he get the money from to gamble on the boat? Another topic. I got carried away. I can't help it because it's all so interconnected. Oh, Eye on the Loo is going to rock and roll this morning, rock and double roll this morning. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy but educational ride. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound, but below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Tropical storm Aaron has just been downgraded to a tropical depression. Still, people along the Gulf Coast of Texas are preparing for some stormy weather.
I haven't been through one before. I'm looking forward to it, though.
You want to live in a house right on the beach where you know it's going to flood, and you know your house is going to get blown away? It's your problem.
Aaron isn't terribly powerful, but the rain it's packing could cause big problems in a region recently slammed by severe flooding. Are they sights and sounds of life? Rescue crews will listen again today for sounds from inside a collapsed Utah coal mine after sensors yesterday detected 5 minutes of unknown noise. Meanwhile, ABC's Alex Stone tells us video cameras dropped inside revealed a survivable space.
Even though the video didn't show the miners themselves, it did show a curtain, we're told, used to section off good air from bad air, and that it may be a sign the miners are alive and close by that curtain. All efforts to contact the miners have come back negative, but between this and word that there may have been some noises picked up inside the mine, there is some renewed optimism here.
The staggering heat wave searing the southeast has claimed more than a dozen lives, including seven in Memphis alone. ABC's Chris Pilsick says the weather is about to break, but for some, it's too late.
St. Louis area health officials now confirm there have been 8 heat-related deaths. The latest victims, a 60-year-old man who lived in St. Louis City. He had no air conditioner or fans. And a 76-year-old man only had one working fan. Officials say that he had an air conditioner, but it wasn't turned on. Neighbors said that he was concerned about his power bill.
A major earthquake rocked Lima, Peru with a magnitude of 7.9. The death toll is over 300 and expected to rise far higher. NASA is promising a decision today on whether to send astronauts on a risky spacewalk to fix damaged thermal tiles on Endeavour's underbelly. Agency officials have been agonizing over it for days and will run one more tile test on the ground today. This is ABC News.
5 days only at Pep Boys this week. Get a Baja 90cc ATV for just $699.98. Save $300 after mail-in rebate. You can even get 0% interest till January of 09 on all ATVs, dirt bikes, and go-karts $499 and up with your Pep Boys credit card. And there's more. A Garmin Street Pilot GPS, just $229.98. Save $50 after mail-in rebate. And save $10 on all Pennzoil oil changes after mail-in rebate. Sale ends Sunday. Thank you for shopping at Pep Boys.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
The U.S. Army's suicide rate has hit a record high. ABC's Jim Hickey has the sobering stats.
The stress of combat and lengthy tours of war zone duty are factors in the highest rate of suicide among Army soldiers in 26 years, according to that Army report obtained by the Associated Press. The report says about 17 soldiers per 100,000 committed suicide last year, more than a quarter of that number serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. Other factors in the suicide rate include personal relationships, legal, and financial problems. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The word Iraq does not appear in the resignation letter of former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Neither does the word war, which some say is what drove him out. The four-paragraph letter only mentions critical and challenging times in our country. The letter, released in response to multiple Freedom of Information Act requests, only says, "It's time to conclude my service." I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Branchmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, federal regulators have authorized Ameren to rebuild the Tomsok Reservoir. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission sent a letter to Ameren, which was received yesterday. The authority to rebuild depends on the utility submitting final design plans and specifications for review and approval. Ameren says it must first resolve a lawsuit filed last year by Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon. The company wants to begin construction in February, but a spokesperson for Ameren says they must settle the lawsuit with the state first. Charges have been filed against three teenagers who allegedly started a fire in an elementary school. 19-year-old Jonathan Fury, 17-year-old Adam Wright, and 18-year-old Derek Johnson are charged with misdemeanors. The boys were caught on surveillance tape shooting fireworks, which apparently sparked a fire at Fox Elementary School. The damage to the school is estimated to be more than $1 million. Finally this hour, air conditioners are available to those with medical conditions. That's the word from the New Life Evangelistic Center in downtown St. Louis. Reverend Larry Rice says they have received more than 100 doctor letters, prescriptions, and notes from people who need air conditioning. Rice says the doctor's note must specify the medical problem and why air conditioning is necessary. For more information, call the center at 314-421-3020. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Branchmeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and weather for this 6 o'clock hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy volume going on this hour. Southbound Lindbergh at Ladue and 40. Look for an accident. The right lane is blocked. An overturned vehicle is south of Ladue Road. Look for slow traffic as a result. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Southbound 170 between Olive and Del Mar. Look for road construction having it reduced to two lanes is causing some delays. Northbound 270 at 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 from Prospect through Lake Callahan. Look for road construction there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the bank into the landing. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into New Florissant, look for delays. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass into 270, look for slowdowns. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays there as well. And eastbound 70, that ramp to Riverview is closed due to a water main break. You can use Union or Kings Highway at the Riverview exit. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for delays due to the exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today, look forward to a high heat advisory in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, very hot, partly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high around 101. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 105 by late morning or early afternoon. Friday, hot and partly cloudy. Highs in the upper 90s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees and cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 81. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour, or 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you. Stick around, it's Island Lou with Liz Brown. That's on the way.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City. Knockdown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. There is a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, We have much information to cover. We're talking about land grabs in the city of St. Louis. I remember decades ago a woman by the name of Bertha Gilkey coming on the show. And one of the things that Bertha said is all about the land. It's all about the land, and I have to, you know, I'm sure the indigenous members of North America would co-sign on that. It's all about the land. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and we're going to start with talking about this land. What we are covering this morning is a special veto session by Governor Matt Blunt, that veto session that will start on the 20th. That's next Monday. And interestingly enough, the two pieces of legislation that will be considered at this veto session have not even been put up on the website. I called yesterday over to Jefferson City, and those two pieces of legislation will not be put up on the website until Monday. So we won't be able to even see what this legislation is, but we know. We know that part of this piece of legislation will have a profound and negative impact on the community, on North St. Louis. We're going to talk about that. I'd like to start, if I can, with first welcoming my guest in the studio with me this morning. I have with me, first Ward Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, former dean. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Oh, in this company, wonderful.
Very good. I also have Alderwoman April Ford. April Ford, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
All right.
Very good. And we also have State Representative Jeanette Moss Oxford. Welcome.
Thank you, Liz.
And this is a very important issue, and I like to start always with going back historically, because nothing happens in a vacuum. These things don't just pop up, fall out of the sky, and then just happen to us. This land grab that the governor is attempting for a special veto session next week, Quincy, it has historical roots, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the disaster area land assemblage tax credit bill that's in Jeff City, this is just This was initiated through the Team 4 plan, which was produced in the Board of Aldermen by Gephardt, Komarak, Satanics, and Roach. They created this plan, and the plan was designed to withhold services from North St. Louis, which they have been doing over the last 30 years. This plan was initiated in 1974-75, and they've been withholding credit from North St. Louis ever since then. And what you see now is a result of benign neglect on the part of the city and all of the redevelopment agencies. I would say it's CDA, LRA, all of them are part of this plan that caused the multitude of absent buildings on land in North St. Louis.
Is land banking a fair phrase to use?
Land banking would be a conservative statement. Mm-hmm. It's more than land banking. It's an organized effort to destroy the housing stock and the investments that black people have been making in North St. Louis for the last 25 years, and to cause those black people who had means and resources to leave the community, and that's what's happening as we speak.
So let's go to Jefferson City to talk about, and the Team 4 plan was defeated, but it continued on anyway.
Well, it was never officially passed by the Board of Aldermen, but it was put into effect.
So let's go to Jefferson City. City Representative Oxford, talk to us about the genesis of this. How did House Bill 327? Mm-hmm. How did it start out? How was it born, and then how did it end up? Mm-hmm.
Well, in February, the House passed House Bill 327. It was an economic development package that only had three components. That was the Quality Jobs Act, which is tax credits for businesses that create new jobs that pay above the median incomes in their counties. There was an expansion of enhanced enterprise zones, and there was some new job training funds.
That sounds wonderful.
Yes, it does sound so wonderful that all, like 157 of us that were there, voted yes.
I know. When I was looking at the votes yesterday, I was amazed that everybody voted for this mm-hmm. the first time around. Sounds good.
It does.
Okay.
It does. In fact, I think RCGA says that the Quality Jobs Act produces something like $16 or $17 for every dollar we spend on it. So, you know, it's hard to argue with success like that.
Okay.
So I voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a critic of tax credits,
okay.
but I voted for this bill. So then the bill switched over to the Senate side, and in the Senate hearing process, people start to lay amendments on it, and in the Senate debate process until we arrive at the proverbial Christmas tree bill. It went from, a relatively small economic development package to something massive, estimated between $115 million in cost and $300 million in cost. And I guess that's quite a span, but, you know, depending on who you ask, the fiscal note said something like $115 million plus unknown.
Well, and if I can put some fingerprints on this, an interesting aside, one of the sponsors of the revised bill, the Senate sponsors, is a Republican. Now he's a Democrat, Koster. And Koster has been getting a lot mm-hmm. of attention because he switched over to the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the sponsor of the revised version of the Distressed Areas Land Assemblance Tax Credit Act. It's a mouthful, and mm-hmm. that's really what we're talking about today, right?
Well, that's what this tour is about today. Also, I think it was the first Wednesday in March, if I remember correctly. Barb Geisman from mm-hmm. the mayor's office, Mike Jones from Charlie Dooley's office, and a number of folks invited the whole St. Louis delegation, meaning St. Louis City and the surrounding four or five counties, to come to the Country Club in Jefferson City and see a presentation about a distressed areas land assemblage tax credit bill that they wanted us to support. And
this had county support as well?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And Speaker of the House, Rod Jetton, filed that bill as House Bill 991. So I don't know what date it was filed on. We could look that up on the House website, but that's a fairly high number because we start at one,
mm-hmm.
you know, in 2007. It's a new General Assembly. So we started at one and counted up. So that got filed fairly late.
Mm-hmm.
The bill got the Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit, which I call Dolatech for short.
Okay.
Because that's such a long phrase. got added on the Senate side without ever having been heard. And so that became a bone of contention, and some of the senators, like I think maybe Brad Lager and Delbert Scott and Matt Bartle, who'd been somewhat critical of this plan, said, you know, we really shouldn't be amending anything on that hasn't had a hearing. So I think it was early May, suddenly a hearing got thrown together on House Bill 991, the Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Bill, and I went to attend that hearing. I'm not even sure if they met the Sunshine Law requirements of posting a notice 24 hours in advance. I just heard early the morning of this hearing, Jeff Rainford's on his way up here for the mayor, you know, because this hearing's been thrown together. The Senate side is mad because this bill hasn't been heard. So there was a hasty hearing of 991. I think I was the entire audience.
Really?
For that bill.
And before we go there, that you mentioned some lobbyists here, that Jeff Langford on the part of the city went up there. We find out that there were a number of people that have been paid to lobby on behalf of this.
Right. The only one that I'm aware of that's kind of an interesting case is that Rodney Boyd was he was lobbying for the city, for the mayor's office, but also had a contract for Paul McKee. Now, because the mayor was supportive of it, you could debate that that's not a conflict of interest because he's working for the same bill, but for two different people. But it does pose some particular challenges. What if there's a, you know, something in the debate that's advantageous to the city but isn't what Mr. McKee wants? I assume that Rodney's obligation as a lobbyist would be to step down as one of the lobbyists for one of them at that point, and perhaps that, you know, just didn't arise. But any time a lobbyist takes on two things like that, there's a...
Well, there's also the issue of disclosure, too. Did he ever disclose to you that he was lobbying for both people?
I didn't learn that until July 31st in a meeting in the mayor's office.
So it was well after everything had gone down. Well after that. And I also, it's my understanding as well that Freeman Bosley Jr. is also a lobbyist for Paul McKee. So there are a number of people that have their finger in this. So we get to this hearing. Talk to us about what happened in the hearing.
Right. Well, the hearing started off, as all hearings do, with the sponsor of the bill speaking first. So Speaker Jetton spoke about the bill and how this would be a wonderful thing for North City and County, and that there are parts of North City that are basically fit only for urban warfare training.
That's what the Speaker of the House said about North St. Louis.
Yeah. That was his description.
Was his description.
Right. He then called his first witness, who was Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder. Peter Kinder said that there had been an effort by the Danforth Foundation a few years ago to start a community land trust, and that there had been a lot of pushback by the community that it would cause gentrification, and that had kept this, you know, good community land trust effort from happening, but that we all know that area needs some gentrification.
Okay, I don't want to cuss on the air. I don't want to cuss on the
air. I was stunned by those two statements because, to me, they show such racism.
It's complete, absolute racism. And it's also consistent. The same governor also said that who wants to come to St. Louis?
Right, and then bought a house in the Democratic district in Springfield within a month of making that statement. So I guess he wants to live where the Democrats do.
Apparently he does. Apparently he does. And I do want to let everybody know that there is an event today that you really, if you really want to see what we're talking about here, be part of this. Is it a bus tour?
We're going to go on a bus.
A bus today.
Need some air conditioning today.
Yes, absolutely. Leaving at 2950 Montgomery. You need to be on the bus today so that you can understand exactly the land grab that is taking place. There are a number of local and state elected officials that are joining today to talk about this Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Act. And Alderwoman April Ford will be talking to us about what the city has done in anticipation of this action that you all are engaging in today at 10 o'clock at 2950 Montgomery. So continue, Representative Oxford. So we have these racist statements made, a bill that was on the bullet train under the radar about taking land in both North County and North City. What happened after they made those racist statements?
Well, a number of people came forward to speak in favor of the bill. They just basically said, this is a great idea. You know, this will help the city and North City and North County. We want your support. It was Jeff Rainford, I believe Mike Jones, Steve Stone, who's a attorney for Mr. McKee. And
Steve Stone, who was given $5,000 to State Representative Rodney Hubbard and $2,500 to State Representative Talib El-Amin. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have all those figures in front of me, but I did take a look at those, you know, for some weeks now, and I believe there's been close to $200,000 worth of giving to various candidates. I guess the largest recipient being Governor Blunt, but
and also Koster.
A lot of money to a lot of characters, and a special focus on the people who are the gatekeepers, President Pro Tem of the Senate, the chair of the committee that heard the bill,
mm-hmm.
so greasing the skids, you know, making sure that this thing can fly. So there was a little love fest for the bill. I can't remember if there may have been one other person that testified. I have the notes on that at home.
And just to, for clarification, Representative, not one single state representative or senator representing the area that this would impact was at that hearing.
Well, Rodney's on the committee. Rodney Hubbard is on the committee that heard the bill.
Okay.
And Mike Corcoran is from North County and asked some questions about could this work for an area around the airport or not. And Steve Stone at that point said, yeah, probably that would qualify.
Did Rodney disclose in the hearing that he had received $5,000 from Steve Stone before he testified or anything like that? Or is that something that is normally done?
That's not normally done,
okay.
Most there were very few questions in the hearing. It was just a formality.
Did Rodney speak to the issue of the statements that were made about the warfare zone and
no one responded to that. I was out in the audience and sitting on my hands. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that was the quote unquote, if you can hear the quotation marks, the hearing on this issue. Then
right, and they didn't take a vote on it because they just wanted to have the hearing to be able to say to the senators, we've had a hearing now. You know.
Okay.
So there was no executive session on the bill. So the bill passed on the Senate side, and then there was this little game of chicken between the House and the Senate, with the House saying we refuse to yield from our position on the conference committee. Passed the conference committee report, I think is what happened, and then the Senate wanted further conference before final passage, and so we refused further conference, and it got into this little stand down. Eventually, I think, you know, about 7 or 8 days before the end of the legislative session, it passed with only 9 or 10 of us voting no.
Okay, so then there was a governor's veto, right?
The governor vetoed it on, I think, July 6th. This is, you know, a Christmas tree bill with lots of parts, and his veto message basically raised concerns about drafting errors, and there were horrendous drafting errors. The Quality Jobs Act part basically defined employee as a person making less than the median income of their county instead of more. I said, well, you know, was that some kind of a little bait and switch thing? Because we were told that this was only for companies that create jobs that pay more. And they said, no, that was just a flat-out drafting error. And I, you know...
And he said that. And he said that in his veto letter.
He said there were drafting errors. He said,
and he specifically talked about that. I think he talked about that.
Right, and that there were some poorly targeted credits and just a number of flaws in the bill. I really wanted him to veto the bill, and I had done all that I could to work behind the scenes to make that happen. And I was shocked when he actually did the right thing and vetoed that thing, because it's just a horrendous piece of legislation.
But it's back.
It's back.
So it's back now. And as I mentioned at the opening of this, we still don't have a copy of what this new piece of legislation is with insofar as the Distress Act. Do we?
No, we don't, other than legislators have received a spreadsheet showing what's in and what's out. I would like to mention that also right there at the end, as we were debating it right before the end, I'd started to hear from lots of constituents and lots of people who are doing development in the city about their concerns that the distressed areas land assemblage tax credit portion of the bill was crafted to benefit one person and one person only, who's Paul McKee. His 9 holding companies own properties in over 150 blocks in the North City. And there's over like 600 health and safety code violations on those properties.
And in fact, the Post-Dispatch, in a way that I've never seen them, I haven't seen them do as of late, have written several wonderful articles talking specifically about how this one bill benefits one man and one man only.
That's right.
And we're going to come back. We're going to talk some more about that. I know, April Ford, you are ready to talk about the impact here in the city. And we need to have that conversation because this is unreal. For you all to participate in this, please come on down at 10 o'clock today to 2950 Montgomery. State elected officials will be joining together today to request changes in this proposed Distress Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Act And you all need to be part of it. Get on the bus and see exactly what we're talking about today at 10 o'clock at 2950 Montgomery. And then, of course, on, put it on your calendar, too, August 30th, we're going to have a town hall meeting at Vashon. And Alderwoman Ford will be talking to us about that. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather. Southbound Lindbergh between Ladue and 40, look for, is closed due to an accident and overturned vehicle south of Ladue Road. That southbound lanes are closed and traffic is getting through on the northbound lanes on the shoulder. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for stop and go traffic. Southbound 170 from Olive through Delmar, there's road construction there. It's reduced to two lanes, causing some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank in the landing, look for delays. Northbound 270 from Graboy through 44, look for slowdowns there. Westbound 270 from Illinois 203 in the Canal Bridge, there's lane closures removed on the Canal Bridge, but you can still expect slow traffic as a result. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into New Florissant, look for delays. And northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, look for slowdowns in the 70 exits. Eastbound 70 from Meraz Overpass all the way into 270, look for delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. A heat advisory is still in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise today, very hot, partly sunny, 30% chance of showers, high around 101 with the heat index around 105 by late morning or early afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, lows in the mid-70s. Friday, hot, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70s. And Saturday, partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 82 with mostly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, Ion Lou's up next. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. This is AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's Golden and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here this morning with Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, also Representative Jeanette Mott Oxford, also Alderwoman April Ford. And April, we're talking about this extraordinary land grab in the city of St. Louis, in North St. Louis. You've been on the show to talk about this before. Talk about the Paul McGee connection to this, and talk about the impact on North St. Louis, and talk about whether or not anybody has ever talked to you, any of these people from Jefferson City that have brought the bill forward. Has anybody talked to you, and how was your ward impacted?
Well, to start off talking about the ward, I want to be clear that this is not a ward that they have tried to describe in the media, where we are so distressed that we need someone to run in and rescue us. We don't have anything going on. We need this regentrification.
That's fundamentally racist to begin. The foundation of
correct,
that attitude
correct.
Is racist, and it's inaccurate.
Absolutely. And this is a ward that includes a part of downtown and north of downtown. So we're in a very key location to be able
prime.
To get development, prime
mm-hmm.
location.
All right.
And we have had, just in the past 10 years, over $7 million worth of development done in the ward. And that's just a partial list. Because I can't
million,
track.
Isn't it?
Right.
$700 million.
Right.
Yeah, you said seven.
I'm sorry.
There's a difference between seven and 700.
Right. You got me a little shaken up here this morning going through all that. So $700 million in redevelopment in the past 10 years. About 15% of the 19th ward is in this plan, and they've had over $1 billion worth of development happening over the past 10 years. So these are wards where development has been occurring, and for probably the last 4 years, we've had developers locally as well as from out of town that we have brought in that have had funds and corporations and foundations with money ready to spend to do developments that have been held off. So we now know.
Held off because why?
Because of this project. So we now know that
they're blocking it. They're blocking development.
Their projects have been blocked is so that this project can happen.
This McKee bill, this specific bill that's going to benefit one dude.
Correct.
Okay.
As well as the developers that are currently have already been working and have redevelopment plans that have been outlined. So you know what their development areas are, have been calling, because as they go to the next block to build, there are private parcels that have been bought and picked up by some of these entities, thus trying to block.
The same person who has divested into a whole bunch
correct.
Of different places so you can't see his fingerprints, but one person. Let's
correct.
Be clear. It's Paul McKee.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So that lets you know that not only are you talking about doing something that would move the people out that are there, but you also have put forth efforts to stop the development that we currently have going. So I want to be clear about what the situation of the ward is.
The impact of this.
And the impact mm-hmm. of this. We got together, probably eight years ago and had a development plan done with the community, 22-some-odd meetings so that the community could participate. And that plan talked about inclusion, diversity, creating something for everyone, having opportunities for the people who have been here and stayed here to continue to be here. It did not talk about destruction and mass relocation and mass displacement, which is what's going on.
How do you feel when you hear a representative Oxford say that a legislator, who was it that said it specifically about urban warfare?
That was Speaker of the House, Speaker Ron Jetton.
The Speaker of the House, Ron Jetton, describing your community as a place of urban warfare, and that somebody needs to go in there and do some gentrification.
Right. You know what? Actually, you know, I'm angry that he would say that, but I'm not surprised because mm-hmm. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, and that's why I've concentrated most of my time in office in trying to get the area developed, making sure that we have small companies given a chance, making sure that we have women-owned construction companies given a chance, making sure that we have minorities given a chance. And I've spent a lot of time and effort making those type of things happen in the ward. But I'm actually glad that he said it because he was honest enough to go ahead and let us know what it is that they're doing. So that just further confirms
he was honest
what it
racism.
Is. Right. That confirms what it is that I've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
They have bought over 500 properties in the 5th Ward and don't do as much as cut the grass. When they go and they buy a person out, when they go to a family that's been there 50, 60 years and purchase their home, when the people move out, they have never even come and put as much as a padlock on the door, knowing that they would create the blight that then they would come and use as the reason for needing a tax credit. So therefore, I have pictures, and the thing that the tour is about today is to show some of the legislators, whoever will be willing to come, as well as we've invited the aldermen, to come and look and see what has happened to my area, where you will see doors open, windows gone, half the house gone, because here comes the guys who we thought their purpose was to steal bricks to go and sell them. But, you know, after seeing building after building where the back corner is hit and the rest of the walls then soon will crumble and a whole lot of good bricks left out there, and we see them steady concentrating in the 5th Ward, we know that it's not just people that's coming to steal the bricks. They're sent there for the purpose to destroy the buildings. So there are no buildings to then have to try to tell a developer you got to rehab.
And I just want to jump in real quick here because I'm looking at the story that the Post wrote, and they talk about McKee has been billed more than $298,000 to maintain his property. The property is not maintained because the city has to come in and do it.
And that is just over probably, I would guarantee you, the last 2 years, because residents have gotten so fed up and have called so much that they have started to give the code violations, and is probably close to $300,000 that he's been billed for the city cutting grass, boarding up, as well as tearing down properties.
This is a multimillionaire who is not taking care of this property, one. Secondly, we have Francis Slay and Francis Slay's lobbyists, who's lobbying also for Paul McGee, going up there and advocating for a specific bill for this guy who's a slum landlord.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Did not have to happen this way. And so the reason it had to happen this way, because it lets you know that the intent is to neglect the area and take it down, so then you can come in and bulldoze everything and do what you're used to doing out in the county where you have nothing but flat land
and bring in
a different class of people. Because understand, if they do not want us to have community meetings, if they are not talking and meeting and planning with us, and they're going to our people who are mostly low-income African-Americans and buying them out and just letting them go, not trying to even help work with us, keep them in the area, anything, just doing everything
and letting secretly their houses crumble.
And letting their houses crumble, what they bring back will not be for us.
And we're going to, I mean, this connects us directly to, brings us full circle, brings us right around the table back to the whole team for peace. And April, as we're preparing for this event today, this 10 o'clock mm-hmm. at 2950 Montgomery, where elected officials will be, elected state and local officials will be requesting changes to the proposed Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Act. What is it that you're asking for?
One, I'm asking for them to come out and mm-hmm. see it. If you're going to vote and you're going to give someone this type of credit and this type of money for having created this type of neglect, and in the bill, they get credit for the city having maintained their property. Their approach has been, let the city take care of it, let the city tear it down, and then we go to the state and get a credit. You get reimbursed for something that you had not even been
wow.
maintaining.
Wow.
You get all your costs back 100% if this bill passes. You get paid to create the neglect, move people out, and bring in a different class of people. That is correct.
Wow. We will be back. We're taking a break. You need to stay with us. My name is Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Loo. We'll be back. From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Yes.
Seven Signs Masonry. 618-338-2871. Tuck Pointy, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business. Seven Signs. 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
People's Health Centers and St. Paul AME Church will sponsor a free lunch program for children and disabled adults. Lunch will be served on weekdays from 11:30 through 12:15 at the church on Hamilton Avenue. The program ends on August 17th. For more info, call 314-460-3648 or 314-385-8900. News to you from AM 920.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll-free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The people, the issues affecting your life.
right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Come on back, come on back. This is Liz Brown and I on the Lou. We're talking about an extraordinary land grab. We're talking about racism. We're talking about the cost to one part of the city. We're talking about the city of St. Louis and this extraordinary, and I have to say because it's a mouthful of words, this extraordinary Distressed Areas Land Assemblage Tax Credit Act. And if you want to know more about it, if you want to see more about it, if you want to do a touch and feel of this, 10 o'clock, meet today, 10 o'clock at 2950 Montgomery, where several local and state elected officials will join together today to be part of this tour to show you what this is about. And back to you for a couple of minutes here, Alderwoman Ford. Yes. Talk to us about it, because we were talking off the air, the extraordinariness of the arrogance of and the extraordinary of the action of a Rodney Hubbard as the part of the committee that was part of bringing this bill. And Rodney Hubbard is also the committee man in the 19th Ward. I want people to feel the specifics of what he is asking for to happen to his community, your community, and Quincy, your community, all of this. Talk to us about some of the specifics in this bill. What would it do?
We were looking at...
I think it's the committee man of the 5th Ward.
I'm sorry, committee of the...
We were looking at the board. I was looking at reading through the board bill 991 and pointing out the acquisition cost. As it is described, it can pay it. You will get 100% back of the money you spent for acquisition, for your attorney fees, for environmental assessments, your closing costs, any demolition of the vacant structures, relocation costs, maintenance costs incurred to maintain the eligible property. So that title insurance. So that means that they will get. They have been allowed to buy property, intentionally do nothing to it, let the city pay to send our workers out to cut the grass, board it up, demolish it after it's fallen down.
We pay that.
We pay that, and then they will turn around. We build them sometimes, and then they pay the bills sometimes, and then they have gone to the state to get credit back for doing that. So they have used the city as a maintenance company for their properties, which everybody at the Board of Aldermen knows the struggle that we have with the budget and that we don't have enough money to give to forestry to go out on the regular basis as what's needed at least every 4 weeks and cut the grass that the city owns. And I tell you, when we go on this tour today, unfortunately, you will not see what's been out there for the last 4 years. When I went out there yesterday to 2950 Montgomery, I found trucks out there.
City trucks.
I found both city trucks and private trucks.
Shut up.
Out there on the block where we named in the press release, boarding up buildings. So, but one thing you will see, you will easily be able to identify all of Paul McKee's properties because they all have brand new boards
brand new
on
boards.
Them today.
That's
so
right.
You can see that they're brand new boards, no dirt on them. They were just put up yesterday.
They're not discolored by the sun. They are brand
nothing.
New boards.
They're brand. They went. I drove through the whole ward yesterday, and they had people out boarding up all of their properties. And then I found city trucks boarding up building at 2950 Montgomery, where we're going to be today. And then
wait a minute. How does that make you feel as an alderwoman? Woman, that now you have city trucks coming out here and cutting grass. Now you have city trucks out coming out here boarding up, trying to protect, looking like they're trying to protect properties. You've asked for that before?
Right. Well, it upsets me because I know that the residents call me on the weekly basis about these properties, and they have not gotten results that they deserve. As well as we went even over in the 1900 block of Montgomery and all up and down 20th Street, and there were at least six forestry workers out there, city forestry workers, cutting the grass.
Wait a minute, at 112 degrees,
yesterday,
whatever it was, they were out
ma'am.
There cutting grass
yes,
yesterday.
Yes, ma'am, and I had other people with me to witness this. I sent someone over to ask them, is this your regular rotation? Because the city forestry goes by a schedule, so you can document, is this our day or not to be cut? And he said no. The supervisor pulled them off of another area and sent them over to the 5th Ward and told them to clean up that area.
See?
So in 24 hours, they can come through and have used the city once again to clean up throughout the ward because they know I was bringing the media today and
today.
Take them on a tour. But yet, all year long, you could not respect and respond to the residents, but yet because we're bringing some media and some folks over there today for a few minutes to look at what's been going on for years, you could send all our resources, pull them off of other wards. Some wards, including mine, have some LRA properties that haven't been touched all year long, and some private properties haven't been touched all year long. You can't get them to come and cut that, but somebody gave them the call to come over there to the area and clean it out before we get there this morning at 10, but I do have pictures of what it looked like before.
Excellent. Now, I need to jump to Representative Robin Wright. She's joining us on the phone here to talk about this. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Liz. How are you? And good morning, Alderwoman. How are you?
Good morning.
And
just
also
fine.
Representative Oxford is here, and also former Representative Charles Quincy Troop, current Alderman Charles Quincy Troop is here this morning.
Wonderful.
Talk to us real quickly here. We're talking about this special session that's going to take place on the 20th. Talk to us about where you are on this bill.
I think land assemblage in principle is a very good thing, but I am certainly opposed to anybody having any private or financial gain as a result of it. Now, I voted for the bill originally, but my vote right now is on ice. I haven't seen the things that we need to see to make this work like it should. It's not a new idea. It's an idea that came out of, I know, Clarence Harmon's administration that didn't get very far, but we need to have large tracts of land to bring in manufacturing and industrial corporations to give our people jobs. So we cannot have any private gain because of that.
Well, there's nothing in this bill that does that, is there?
Well, I'm not sure what's in the bill, to tell you the truth, Liz. We've gotten some information from the speaker as to what they say they've taken out and what they put back in it. I don't know until we get to Jefferson City to see exactly what it's going to be. There will be amendments. There are people working to put back things that were taken out across the interim. And we don't know what it's going to look like. I think the special session is a trial balloon to try to come up with something by veto session, which is right on the heels of this one. I think all that we're doing, I'm very interested in what Alderwoman Ford Griffin is saying about all of a sudden there's a lot of activity in areas that have been impacted with benign neglect that the aldermen cannot get the city to move on, and they're moving all of a sudden. That's so interesting to me. So the fix is in about what they want to do, and what we have to do is go and ferret out those who are going to benefit and make this particular bill something that works for the people.
Well, if it continues to have the components that that trouble you, that the piece about financial gain, can you tell us, Representative, that you will not vote for this bill?
I can certainly tell you I will not vote for this bill. That's where I am at this point. I'm very dissatisfied with what has happened. It's very interesting to see the exposure that we've seen in the paper about what's going on with these properties and how people are lining themselves up to gain, and I'm not going to be able to support anything like that because that does not work for the people.
Well, I certainly would ask that you call your other fellow state reps and get more people on board with this. We know that the chairman of this committee, Rodney Hubbard, has received $5,000 from the attorney representing Paul McGee on this in his committee, and we're very concerned about those types of conflicts going on when we're looking at a bill that is so detrimental to our community.
Absolutely, and that's my concern as well. That's not about the people, and it's got to be about the people.
And I got to let you go. Thank you very much, Representative, for joining us this morning.
You're so welcome, and have a good day on the tour. I'm sorry I can't join you, and Jeanette, I sent you an email about that, but I'm anxious to see what comes out of it.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Quincy.
Well, I was listening to Robin. But when you go back and look at House Bill 991 that I think she signed on, the bill does, Section 1 does everything that she says she's opposed to. And that's what scares me, that's what frightens me, because when I look at South St. Louis and look at the near south side and look at North St. Louis, I see the same thing. But if you look at 991, everything in this bill that these people signed on, obviously, they didn't know what was in it, and that's what's frightening me, because when you sign on something like this, it's just not right to do something of this magnitude that's going to impact black people like this without even knowing what's in the bill.
And I think that's what happened, too, is that people were asked to sign on it, but didn't really see it or study it in advance. Because I think something like 6 out of 10 of the city delegation signed on. I wasn't even invited to, so I guess I was just, rated as unsupportive to begin with.
And can we just have one quick conversation about the fiscal note on this? Because that's what we always talk about with bills like this. How much is it going to cost the taxpayers? What's the fiscal note on this?
I think I'd estimated at least $150, $200 million, and I think Jeanette...
Just the distressed areas part is $10 million a year, $95 million cap, but the total package is $50 million plus unknown for the bill that we're considering.
And then there's also a list of things that have been taken out of 327 to pay for this. So what are some of the things that have been taken out of this?
Your NAP tax credits that most neighborhood non-for-profits apply for to be able to stabilize their blocks, youth opportunity preservation credits, and a number of things, small business tax credits, so things that would help to stabilize the neighborhood are being taken out of the bill.
To give money to one wealthy white man. Because nobody else, the way that this thing is crafted, nobody else can apply for this.
Yeah, this is personalized legislation for
unless it's changed significantly next week, and I'm certainly hoping it's changed significantly.
And I'm hoping it'll get changed. We're working with a number of state reps to try to see about what they'd be willing to do.
Thank you all so much for joining me this morning. Come on out at 10 o'clock to 2950 Montgomery. Thank you all so much. We'll be back.
Matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Floodwaters. I'm looking out at the bay here in Corpus Christi. We're beginning to get a few gusts of wind. Supposed to take torrential rains here. This is going to be the bullseye. We're expected to take a direct hit from Aaron, and Texas is bracing for a bruising. The problem here is that the ground is saturated. Texas does not need a drop more rain, but it's expected we could get as much as 8 inches. Mike Von Fremd, ABC News, along the Gulf Coast.
Microphones monitoring a mountain above a Utah coal mine have detected sounds in the area where 6 men have been trapped for 10 days. ABC's Alex Stone says it's breathing new life into rescue efforts.
News of sounds coming from inside the mountain brought optimism to families here that maybe the men are alive. The noises lasted for about 5 minutes. Nobody actually heard them. They showed up on a sound graph as peaks. Now, rescuers will listen in that same area, hoping to hear the miners. A camera went into a third borehole overnight, showed no signs of the miners, but it did show an area where survivability might be possible.
The death toll is climbing after a powerful earthquake in Lima, Peru. ABC's David Muir is there.
The sun has come up in Lima. We're getting our first indication of the damage from that powerful 7.9 quake that rocked Peru's coast near the capital. We know that it killed at least 300 people, injuring close to 1,000, primarily south of Lima.
Star Jones admits she got a little carried away when she co-hosted The View and was intoxicated with her own celebrity. She let it go to her head and her bloodstream, she says, but she insists she's now had a transfusion and she's getting a second chance with her new court TV show, Star Jones, which debuts next week. This is ABC News.
Pep Boys, Jack speaking.
Yes, I need new tires.
Well, when you buy 3 tires at Pep Boys, the 4th tire's free.
No, you don't have to do that.
No, ma'am, it's what we do.
Well, I just can't take a tire without paying for it.
But, ma'am, it's free. Buy 3 tires at Pep Boys and the 4th one's free. Any brand, any size, for any vehicle. It's almost too good to be true.
I feel so guilty.
Sale ends Saturday, August 18th.
And get the 4th tire free at Pep Boys.
After mail-in rebate must include tire installation package. Some restrictions apply.
Sears Book Chapter 7, Back to School with Levi's, read by Mark, Class President Candidate.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Right now, Levi's jeans are guaranteed in stock at Sears. Or you get a free pair. That's right, Levi's in stock or you get a free pair. So vote for me, Mark Lesedin for Class President.
All jeans are now on sale in the Sears Book and at Sears.com. Sears. Where it begins.
We'll ship your Levi's in 5 business days or they're free. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer good through 8/18/07.
Elvis fans have flocked to Graceland for the annual salute to the King. ABC's David Blaustein is there.
Elvis fans have come from all over the country and all over the world.
William, Massachusetts. Southend, Indiana.
The friends.
Even the Elvis-loving cicadas are here. Cheryl traveled here from Massachusetts because she says Elvis was a...
wonderful man. Great singer. Great human being. Love him.
Lynn from Indiana loved Elvis's voice and...
the way he moves.
What do you mean?
Dancing moves are really cool.
Can you show me?
No. No.
David Blaustein, ABC News at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee.
Why are the iPhone bills so big? A reflection of your busy brain. It includes a record of every electronic move you make, not just phone calls and texts, but also every time your handset connects to the network, such as when you check your email or visit a website. One woman who got a 300-page bill says, use e-billing, save a forest. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brinsmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, another heat-related death was reported yesterday. A 76-year-old St. Louis man had windows open and a fan, but still succumbed to the heat. It was the fifth known heat-related death in the city this summer and the eighth in the metro area. Yesterday was the hottest day of the year thus far, with temperatures reaching 105 degrees. Several facilities, including Cool Down St. Louis, have been providing free air conditioners for people who need them. Temperatures are expected to be lower over the next few days. To learn more about Cool Down St. Louis, visit cooldownstlewis.org. Madison County investigators have busted a burglary ring. Police say the ring targeted eight different towns across the county. A four-wheeler and electronic equipment have been among the items recovered. 10 men have been charged in the burglary ring, most of them teenagers. 7 of the suspects have been arrested, and police are still looking for the remaining 3. More charges could be filed in the case. Finally this hour, Ameren is promising to provide better service in Illinois. Company executives say they plan to spend $229 million on reliability and customer service improvements this year. Ameren faced criticism for slow responses to widespread power outages in 2006. The St. Louis-based utility provides electric service to more than 1 million Illinois customers. Utility officials say they want to cut customer outages by 25% by the end of next year and also improve coordination of repairs after bad weather. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brinsmeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway all the way into Mason. Look for stop-and-go traffic there as well. Westbound 40 between Poplar Street and 20th. Look for slowdowns. There's an event at the Scott Trade Center that's causing some delays. Eastbound 364 from Marina Parkway through Veterans Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident. 3 lanes are blocked. It's the east of the Upper Bottom Road, and it's 3 left lanes. Look for a lot of delays if you're trying to come in through the Discovery Bridge. Eastbound 40 from Ballas through McKnight. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Southbound 170, there's road construction causing some slowdowns there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into New Florissant. Look for delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving slowly across the span into the landing. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays. Northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into 70. Look for slowdowns in those right lanes as you get onto Highway 70. Consequently, eastbound 70 from east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today, an excessive heat warning is in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, very hot, partly sunny. Chance of showers this afternoon. High around 101 with the heat index around 105 by late morning, early afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers. Lows in the mid-70s. Friday, hot, partly cloudy. Highs in the upper 90s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 90, there's a good chance for shower Sunday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 81 degrees at 8:08. Lambert Field is reporting 83 in mostly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Justice for Reggie with Jamala Rogers and Liz Brown. It's on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I see. I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here in the studio with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Good morning.
And you know what? Here's what I'd like to start with before we get to our guests and our topic. Let's start with some of the things that we want to have people to participate in, some updates on Reginald's case and some updates.
This is going to be a busy week for those of us who will be getting signatures for the petition. And as you know, we made a big push at the beginning of the summer, and we called it Summer 5000. And so we're trying to get that number of signatures. So we've got volunteers who will be at the Black Expo, will be at the National Convention for Veterans for Peace. Black Pride is going on. They've allowed us to set up a petition board there. So we need volunteers, and we need more volunteers. And we know people, some people are already scheduled to go to the Black Expo. And so if you are and you can download a petition, do that. If not, there will be somebody on board. I'll have a I'll be doing a workshop at 1 o'clock there at the expo, and I'll be talking about Reggie's case and the death penalty. So if you can volunteer, please do so. And then on the 30th, which is Reggie's birthday, we will be at Dee's Best Barbecue, and that's just a couple of blocks from here, Liz. It's right on Union Boulevard and Dr. Martin Luther King, and we will be having a 12-hour marathon where we will be collecting signatures, getting your birthday greetings, and, you know, kicking it up there.
What time?
We'll be from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so that ought to give you a stretch of time. Thursday, August 30th, so that's in a couple of more weeks.
Okay, so we have another week to talk about that, but plan on that.
Plan on that, and tell your friends, because if you can't stop, then we're going to bring you something to sign while you're standing there waiting for the light, but we'll be right there on the corner of Union and Dr. King Drive. And also, Liz, we'll have buttons and T-shirts so that, you know, people who haven't had a chance to get those items, they can stop by and do so.
Very good. And, again, just let everybody know, because I want to remind people of why we gather here every Thursday at 8 o'clock. Jamala.
We gather here on behalf of Reginald Clemens, who is one of the last victims on death row as related to the Chain of Rocks Bridge murder case. And Reggie's case is the perfect storm of events that culminated that allowed him to be executed, including, you know, ineffective counsel, beat forced confessions by the St. Louis Police Department, and prosecutorial misconduct by Nels Moss. And so those are the things that we've been fighting against for the last almost 20 years now, Liz, to reverse that and bring the awareness to people of how a person like Reggie could even come to be on death row.
And we need to add into that perfect storm the issue of racism, because that tracks right rather nicely into what we're going to be talking
Absolutely.
About when we come back. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Dave Jacobs, Director of Sociology at Ohio State U, joining us from Columbus, Ohio. There was a study why people of African descent who kill white people are most likely to be executed. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Kirby Van Hirsch. You won't believe your eyes. At this thrill-a-minute production, packed full of astonishing disappearing acts, huge illusions, and exotic animals. See a royal white tiger, a unicorn, a helicopter appearing in 4 seconds flat, assistants cut in half, one-of-a-kind surprises, and more. Plus, take a magical mystery tour backstage with Kirby and his big cats. Kirby Van Birch. Millions have been amazed. Now it's your turn. Kirby Van Birch Theater, Highway 248, Branson, Missouri, 417-337-7140.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I am here because this is Justice for Reggie Thursday with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back. We have a guest with us today from joining us from Columbus.
Yes, we have Dr. Dave Jacobs, and one of the things that I find interesting about who survives on death row, we've talked a lot, Liz, on the show about the racism involved with, you know, the whole process of the criminal justice system from the time that the police pick you up through the, you know, prosecution and then the penalty phase or the penalty phase, whether it be a death penalty or not. All of that tinged with racism, but this was one of the first times that I actually saw a study on what happens to those people once they get to death row and whether or not the racism continues. And I think that there's been some interesting conclusions that Dr. David has been able to draw, both in terms of the folks who are actually on death row and who actually gets the death penalty, because I think people should know that everybody who gets the sentence doesn't actually get executed.
And let's talk to Dr. Dave Jacobs to weigh in on this extraordinary study. Dr. Jacobs, good morning.
Hiya.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. Dr. Jacobs, you have engaged in a report here. Talk to us about what was the thought behind this report. How did you get into it?
Well, I've been doing a bunch of studies on the death penalty, starting in about 19... the first one was published about 5 years ago. So it was just a continuation of that older work. But we actually were able to find individual data on outcomes on death row, and that was what motivated the study.
So talk to us about what your study, what you found in your study.
Okay, the main finding of interest is, as you correctly pointed out, there's been practically no studies of the determinants of executions once you get the death sentence. And this is interesting for other reasons. Only about 10% of those given the death sentence ultimately are executed. Most get off death row because they win either two state appeals, most states have two appeals, or they seek relief in the federal system. That accounts for about 70%. Now, it should be noted for people interested in the death penalty that almost all of those who get appellate relief get put back in the regular prison population. In other words, they're not executed, but they serve long sentences for the murders they did. In any case, the most interesting findings, as you already sort of alluded to, are that if an African-American or a Hispanic kills a white, they're much more likely to be executed. There are other interesting findings as well, but they're at the state level.
And so, well, break down some of those other state-level findings that were interesting.
All right. My fundamental hypothesis about punishment, criminal punishment, is that it's political. And since 1968, when Nixon first ran on a law and order platform that was, according to quotes we have, designed to get people the racist vote out,
kind of like the Willie Horton campaign.
Yeah, that was Willie Horton was in 1988 when Bush Senior ran against Dukakis. But it's been a long and continuous process. In any case, what we find is that states, this also explains the legality of the death penalty. Only about 37 states now have a legal death penalty, but that's fluctuated. That states where Republican dominance is most pronounced, and states that are more conservative, we have separate measures for those two characteristics. They're more likely to have a legal death penalty, and they're more likely to execute.
What about the populations of people of African descent? Did that vary from any of those states, or was that factored in?
Yes. If you look at state-level populations, there's a theory that it's called minority threat theory. And the argument is that as a disprivileged minority gets larger, whites, majority groups get threatened, and increasingly support repressive law and order measures. So in both the legality study and who gets executed, we find that as the African-American population and the Hispanic population sometimes, it's not as strong, as they grow up to a point, it's more likely the state will have a legal death penalty. It's also more likely that executions will there'll be more executions. But what's interesting about that finding is, at least with executions, the amount of executions conducted by a state with a legal death penalty, after a particular point, it's very high. After the percentage of African Americans reaches a particular point, then the probability of execution starts to diminish. Probably that's due to increasing voting power on the behalf of minorities like Hispanics and African Americans.
What is that magic number, Professor?
Well, you got to remember now, we only have 16 states. The other death penalty states, which are mostly small and have small death row populations, wouldn't cooperate with us, our request for data. But it turns out that if the African-American population is about 16%, after that point, perhaps their political clout or your political clout grows sufficiently so that executions start to diminish. Now, that's in our states, that's at about the 86th percentile. The great majority of states don't reach that tipping point.
So,
Dr.
Jacobs, can you tell us state by state? So, for example, when you looked at Missouri, what did you find different? I know we've had both Republican and Democratic governors, sometimes almost alternating nicely. And then can you talk about those states that didn't cooperate? Were they Republican-controlled states?
First of all, I can't tease out the data. The statistics don't work very well if you look at particular states. There's simply not enough cases. You need a lot of cases to do this kind of work. So I can't tell you much about individual states. Someday, perhaps somebody will do a study perhaps on Texas or Florida. There might be enough executions and a large enough death row to do a similar study on one state. I can't remember. What was your second question?
The second question was...
I don't know the answer to that question about whether... I think it had more to do with policies of the corrections departments, whether they would cooperate or not. I don't think that was set by Republicans in the legislature or the governor's office.
And
I suspect it wasn't. I don't know.
We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the fact that the greater risk for people of African descent who killed a white person, how you came to that conclusion, and what we can draw from that conclusion. We're talking to Dr. Dave Jacobs, Director of Sociology at Ohio State U. He's joining us from Columbus, Ohio. We're talking about a study that concludes that people of African descent convicted of killing whites are not only more likely than other killers to receive a death sentence, they are also more likely to actually be executed. We're going to be talking about that. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us. We will be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Westbound 40 from Poplar Street Bridge through 20th Street. There's a stop-and-go traffic. There's an event at the Scott Trade Center. It's causing all sorts of tie-ups. Eastbound 40 from Jefferson through 20th. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well due to the event at Scott Trade Center. Eastbound 364 from 94 through Veterans Bridge. Look for an accident. Three lanes are blocked, three left lanes, and that's just east of Upper Bottom Road. Look for delays as well. Eastbound 44 from Van Deventer through Grand. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from Tudor Avenue all the way into Poplar Street Bridge. Look for traffic to be easing now this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through New Florissant. Look for delays, but everything is running smoothly. at the speed limit. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Eastbound 70 at Bercher. There's that ramp to Riverview is closed at this hour due to a water main break. You can use Union or Kings Highway as an alternate. And westbound 44 from Antar through Lewis Road. Look for road construction causing delays. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today, a heat advisory is still in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, very hot, partly sunny. Chance of showers this afternoon, high around 101, with the heat index reaching around 105 by late morning, early afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy. Chance of showers, lows in the mid-70s. Friday, hot, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. Saturday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-90s. And Sunday, looking for mostly cloudy skies, good chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently, we have 83 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
S.
Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business, Seven Signs, 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close to you.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait. When you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program...
How dare you create an argument for public health that exempts the casinos? You wouldn't do that. If we had an avian flu epidemic in St. Louis, would you exempt the casinos from those regulations?
Pretty good. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, so it kind of betrayed the argument on its face.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, we're talking to Dr. Dave Jacobs. He's a doctor of sociology at Ohio State University. There's this report that has come out of talking about who ends up getting the death sentence and who actually ends up getting executed based on race. And Dr. Jacobs, talk to us about the risk to a person of African descent who kills a white person.
First of all, let me interject. I'm not the chair of sociology. Somebody else does that. All my
right.
goodness. I'm just a mere professor.
All right.
Basically, the odds above and beyond if you were a white who killed an African American, the odds are about 2.5 times higher if you're an African American who killed a white that you'll be executed. The same odds for a Hispanic who kills a white are about 1.5 times higher than if a white killed a minority. Did that make any sense?
Yes, it does. And, so this is a new factor, because Jamala, you were talking about this is something different. We've heard that we've understood the piece about being executed or being found guilty and ending up on death row, but this adds something different.
Absolutely, and for the doctor, I was wondering what are the implications of that in terms of policy, in terms of what the public peace needs to be as it relates to that, and if you could tie in the partisan piece, because I think that's an interesting piece as well.
Well, first of all, it's pretty clear that the judicial system, at least the capital punishment system, is not colorblind as it should be. I mean, none of these factors should matter in a just capital punishment system, if you believe that those are not self-contradictory phrases. It's also bothersome that probably one of the reasons why, first of all, in the initial stages of the procedure, one of the most important determinants occurs about 2 or 3 weeks after someone is arrested. That's when prosecutors decide to go for the death sentence or not. All right. Well, one of the things that's very off-putting about that system is just about all prosecutors are elected. Only Alaska is an exception to that rule. And if prosecutors win a big case, that's a nice stepping stone for higher political office.
Absolutely.
So prosecutors have an incentive to go for the death penalty, particularly if it's not intra-racial, if an African American kills a white, because then you get more publicity for those kinds of murders. So prosecutors have an incentive to seek the death penalty. Moreover, after they successfully win a death verdict, then in many states they either have an informal, or in most states they have an informal or an informal role in the subsequent appeals procedure. So if you're going to get higher office on the basis of a particular victory, a legal victory where you get the death sentence for someone, then you have an incentive to participate in the appeals to protect your legal victory that's going to help your political career. So that's one problem. Another problem that's political is in most states there's two appellate stages. Once you get a death sentence, there's an automatic stage, even if you don't want to resist the death sentence, even if you volunteer, you have to go through this first state appeal. Then, if you don't get relief in the first state appeal, you go through a second. I don't know what the Missouri law is, but my guess is it works that way because just about all states do. In most states, the appellate court judges face election. Now, it's a very strange kind of election. It's called a retention election for good reason. In a retention election, only your name appears on the ballot, and there's no opponent. So it's hard to lose those. But in many cases, not many, but a sufficient number, appellate court judges have lost retention elections, have lost their seats because they overturned too many death penalty verdicts. So there's political reasons for appellate court judges not to overturn death penalty verdicts. And so that's another reason why the process is far too political for comfort.
And talk to us about the Hispanic component of it. I'm looking at the conclusions out of the report, and it says that the risk of execution is not as strong for Hispanics who killed whites as it is for people of African descent who killed whites. Do you have an explanation for that?
Yes. In general, in just about all the studies I do on race versus Hispanic ethnicity, I don't find as strong results, as strong legal repression results for Hispanics. And that's probably due to our horrific history in the 19th century. I mean, we fought, slavery was around for 200 years or so, then we fought. The Civil War involved more casualties than any, or the sum total of American casualties in the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, etc. And then the repressive nature of the Jim Crow regime, enforced by legal and extra-legal violence, lynchings. So I think the racial divide is much more important in American politics and also in American criminal justice policy.
What surprised you out of this report?
I didn't think that given we had to undertake and use some fairly sophisticated methods, statistical methods, to overcome some of the difficulties in the statistics. So I never expected, I was pretty much sure that we would get aggregate results, the typical thing I've been finding on these in these other studies, the Republican strength and the percentage of minorities and conservative, the conservatism of the state would matter, but I didn't think that we would find the, that if African Americans or Hispanics color white, I didn't think that would matter because of the constraints on that data. Generally speaking, when you make more and more assumptions, it attenuates the results. You're not as likely to find significant results, but we did. It came through, and it came through powerfully, despite those obstacles. So that was the surprise that I had.
And I'm not sure if I got this explanation, but can you give me one of the things that you found was that the likelihood of the legal death penalty was greater in states with higher proportions of black residents,
yes,
and in ideologically more conservative populations, and in states where there was a greater support for Republican candidates. What's that magic number of proportions of black residents?
I can't give you that number. It wasn't done that way in the initial death sentence study.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the legality of capital punishment study.
Okay, because I was just wondering.
The proportions, I can give you an estimate of the tipping point in the execution study because it was done differently.
Got it. And Professor or Doctor, where can we find, where can people go and take a look at this study?
Well, first of all, they can email me, and I'll send you the report. Not too many people or libraries subscribe to the American Sociological Review, but you can also go there. My email number, my email address is jacobs.184@osu.edu. The journal that where you can find this, and it you ought to be able to find it in any university library or any college library, is the American Sociological Review, and the study's in the August issue, August 2007.
Very good. Dr. Dave Jacobs at Ohio State University, thank you so much for sharing this information with us and the study results with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Take care. And Jamala, this is something that we have been talking about, and I guess, you know, here we go again.
Here we go again, but, you know, again, what's interesting, and I think you teased it out with the questions that you asked Professor Jacobs, and that is, what is the tipping point for the population? And so if we have a place like Missouri where the urban areas are predominantly African American here, not quite that in Kansas City, but what impact could that have on the death penalty? And the fact that we have a Republican governor, and I, you know, it's hard to tell. I can't remember. At one point I did know the affiliation, party affiliations for the judges.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that mix together, and we still don't bode well in that system.
Well, and here's something that I read a number of years ago in the St. Louis Business Journal. It was an editorial, and the name of the person that wrote the editorial, his name escapes me, but he wrote just about that. He said that in the city of St. Louis, in the state of Missouri, there is a number where white people began to feel uncomfortable with African presence, and that number is 25%. When it gets higher than 25%, then white people start to move. White people start looking for other white communities to go into. Now, I don't remember this person's name, but I do remember this, that he was a major developer in the state of Missouri. He was the head of the development organization for the state of Missouri. He has a son that is also a developer. So after reading that article, it just, in my mind, so why do you suppose, what kind of homes and who do you suppose that he reached out to when he was developing his communities? If he understood the mathematics of that, and he knew how white, and I believe him because he was white and he knows how white people are. What kind of outreach and how many black people do you think they tried to sell homes to knowing that math?
And how many white people did they steer to new developments as a result of the sort of minority threat theory?
There you go. There you go. We'll be back with much, much more. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates.
Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. And I want to do a couple of things before we get back to our conversation here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. Heads up, on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock, that's this coming Wednesday, at the fire headquarters at 1020 North Taylor, you need to be there. You need to find out what's going on with the fire chief. You need to find out what's going on with the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality, why the lawsuits that have been file the questions about why SLA is going after black firefighters. You need to talk about that. We need to understand that. So come on down on Wednesday to 1020 North Taylor at 6 p.m. Be there with the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality. You need to know the facts, and you need to be able to ask some questions. And, again, I want to thank everybody for their wonderful support of the wake-up call, but it's great to get a phone call and say, I love you. What I need you to do is go out there and visit some of our businesses that support the wake-up call. So why don't you try out Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. He is wonderful. He brings wonderful equipment, free estimates. I know you need some couch clean. I know you need some carpet clean. Call Russell's Professional Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. That's 315-7075. That's 315-7075. You need to call Russell's Professional Carpet Cleaning and upholstery cleaning, because if you care about the wake-up call, then you care about the advertisers. And I know you're going to be hungry, so get on over to Archie's All-American Cafe at 6277 Del Mar. That's right there in the loop. They have your hot dogs. They have your hot dogs, not just any old hot dogs. They have beef, soy, or turkey, and they have crowd dogs, St. Louis dogs, chili dogs, Chicago dogs, pizza dogs, cheese dogs, chili cheese dogs, Hawaiian dogs, breakfast all day long, fish fry Friday from 5 to 12 p.m. Go on down to Archie's All-American Cafe, 6277 Del Mar. Call in your order at 678-3397. Breakfast all day. And the folks at Archie's, well, they've been involved in our community for over 15 years. Support them because they support you. Archie's All-American Cafe. And also our wonderful sponsor for Justice for Reggie, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. Always appreciate your support. It's a wonderful thing to have as part of this show because it helps make this show possible. And once again, you're listening to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. And Jamala, as we had our guest this morning talking about this amazing study that confirms what it's consistent. But I love the phrase that was used in the study. What do they call it?
Minority threat theory.
Minority threat theory.
And Liz, what it says is that in your blackness, the very notion that that's your color, your very being, means that as you enter into the criminal justice system, your fate has already been determined merely by the color of your skin.
Well, and we're not even talking about people in the criminal justice system. We're talking about African presence, because the minority threat theory is that when we gather, I'm not talking about gathering within the criminal justice system, but when we merely gather, the threat exists.
The threat exists.
And we were laughing off the air. So explain exactly what this threat is. What is this threat? Except for our African skin.
Our African skin. But the threat...
But there's a huge connection and consequence of that threat.
Absolutely. And for the show, which, you know, has been connecting the dots, not just within the criminal justice system, but even those factors that influence it outside. And we were talking about the development, how that impacts, you know, the economic system and how that impacts, and all of these things bear down.
Well, what April was talking about, and what Quincy Troop, Alderperson Quincy Troop and Alderperson April Ford and Representative Oxford were talking about, is that there is a plan for whenever we gather in numbers. Okay, North St. Louis was growing more and more black. So there is a plan to disrupt that black gathering. And that plan is to neglect it. That plan is to get the people out that have the income. That plan is to destroy the when that doesn't work, then you get to the educational system. You destroy the educational system to make them to cease from gathering. And you also put in place an educational system that is not neighborhood based. If you spread people out to the four far corners of the world, you do all of those things to eliminate the African gathering.
Yeah, and so what happens to our community, our sense of wanting to have a stable neighborhood? And so, you know,
we're always homeless.
We're always a people without a land. And last Sunday, the Organization for Black Struggle showed a videotape, a DVD called From Big Easy to Big Empty. And one of the things that they showed in that video was about Katrina, was that you had a housing development that had not even been touched by Katrina or the levee break. The houses had people's furniture and clothes still in there. The housing authority came and put bars, metal bars on there so people could not get in. No damage at all to this.
Wow.
And so they pointed out that look at where this is in relationship to downtown New Orleans. This is prime real estate. So again,
Cabrini Green.
Exactly. So, you know, whenever people get a hitch into wanting to take land based on its proximity to now what is the new, you know, prime rate, market rate, we always end up, you know, with the short end of the stick. And so I think this is a prime example. I hope people will fight. I hope they will be on the tour today.
And that tour is at 10 o'clock today at 2950 Montgomery. That there's going to be a tour to help you understand that it is always about the land. It's always taking away, dispersing us, taking away the land.
And you know, when you start to look at it, Liz, and when they talked about the political incentive that these folks have, we have to find a way to take away the political incentive.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot advance off of the backs and the lives of black people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't made that as clear as we need to, but I think that, you know, the shows like this are helping. The sort of activism that comes out of shows like this is helping. But people have to be informed and they have to act.
And there's another opportunity, the in honor of the 120th birthday and legacy of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, you are invited to a red, black, and green celebration Friday from 6 to 9 at the Muhammad Academy, 3625 Garrison. That's one block east of Grant off of Natural Bridge. Admission is free, and donations are accepted. And Elaine Brown will be speaking. She will be talking on racism, sexism, and classism. She's a former leading member of the Black Panther Party and author of A Taste of Power and The Condemnation of Little B. And there you go. We're going to get to our phones now. Maurice.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
And
I'm here with Jamala Rogers.
Good morning, Ms. Rogers.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. Just a couple comments about the study. I've had different conversations with people. I've listened to different talk shows where they've had people that look like me, that sound like me, who made comments that just really, I don't want to say baffle me, but one of those things that just make you shake your head. I hear comments such as, you know, things have changed. Things are different. And I just wonder, like, man, how can you say that? But then, you know, got to look at what, you know, whose interests are being served when people make those type of comments. The second comment in relation to the study, and again, I'm not going to say I'm a conspiracy nut, as they call them, but I do believe that there is an effort and has been an effort throughout history in the United States to I don't use the word suppress my people, but to relegate us to certain statuses and try to just quote unquote keep us in check. And I do believe that there have been efforts, you know, wholesale efforts to do this. And it's study, you know, just from what the study was, you know, the results kind of leaves that way. Like, yeah, there is a system in place. You know, you can't hide your head and say it doesn't exist. It's there. And we have people in our community who, you know, say, no, it doesn't exist. And some of these people are the ones who actually have a voice to speak and be heard by the masses. And they will say these type of things and push these type of viewpoints, which I think is very negative. I think it's very detrimental to our community.
And Maurice, I'm going to have to let you go because we've got to get to some other people. But thanks for that. Thanks for your comments. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Pamela.
Hello?
Yes.
I wanted to give a call to you, Liz. This is Pam.
Yes,
and
Pam.
To Jamala.
Hey, Pam.
This is from an educational viewpoint. Years ago, there was a study that came out about the time we started our DSEG programs, and they were looking at what was happening with DSEG or places that were integrated. And, Liz, you talked about this magic number of 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was about that same percent where rules and regulations changed in the school. There were stricter suspension kinds of rules and regulations, and black children were disproportionately punished, and certain things that were not rules or suspensionable rules before became suspensionable rules when the black children reached this critical mass. It's between 25 to 35% when the black population gets that kind of mass, then there are repressive rules and regulations passed. So that transfers into the criminal justice system and all other laws and regulations involving black people. But that was a study, too. I don't know exactly when it was. It was years ago. But that would be interesting to see if we could find something on that.
Thank you so much, Pam.
You're
appreciate,
welcome.
Appreciate your call.
25%.
There you go. Jamala, once again, wonderful talking with you. Great information. And we won't be here next week, but we'll be here the week after.
Absolutely.
Take care. Listen, folks, I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Stormy weather is soaking the Gulf Coast of Texas, where Tropical Storm Aaron lost some steam and was downgraded to a tropical depression, but is still packing the power to cause problems. ABC's Mike Von Framd is in Corpus Christi.
We're beginning to get a few gusts of wind, supposed to take torrential rains here. This is going to be the bullseye. We're expected to take a direct hit from Aaron, and Texas is bracing for a bruising. The problem here is that the ground is saturated. Texas does not need a drop more rain, but it's expected we could get as much as 8 inches.
Sounds detected deep in a Utah coal mine are giving rescue crews new hope as they try to reach 6 men trapped there for 10 days. They say it could be the sound of rocks moving, but they're still listening closely. NASA officials remain cautiously optimistic they won't have to schedule a spacewalk to fix a gouge in the space shuttle's thermal tile. A decision is expected today. Elvites have descended on the Memphis Mecca of Graceland to remember the king on the 30th anniversary of his death. ABC's David Blaustein joined them.
It is 103 degrees in Memphis, but Elvis fans just don't care.
We're dealing with it. Lots of water, having a ball. It's not slowing us down a bit.
This is Lynn's fifth trip to Graceland. Has it ever been this hot?
No. No, not like this.
Even Elvis impersonators, or tribute artists, as they like to be called, won't alter their performance despite the suffocating heat.
Well, they were in a jumpsuit, yeah, and they're hot. Thank you. Thank you very much.
David Blaustein, ABC News at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee.
A new presidential report on cancer scolds tobacco and the fast food industry while urging the government to enact policies that encourage healthier eating. The report also says doctors should encourage patients to eat right and exercise. And it says ineffective policies combined with a bombardment of fast food ads have spawned a culture struggling to make healthy choices and in dire need of change. This is ABC News.
Pep Boys, Jack speaking.
Yes, I need new tires.
Well, when you buy 3 tires at Pep Boys, the 4th tire's free.
No, you don't have to do that.
No, ma'am, it's what we do.
Well, I just can't take a tire without paying for it.
But, ma'am, it's free. Buy 3 tires at Pep Boys and the 4th one's free. Any brand, any size, for any vehicle. It's almost too good to be true.
I feel so guilty.
Sale ends Saturday, August 18th.
Tire free at Pep Boys.
After mail-in rebate must include tire installation package. Some restrictions apply.
Sears Book Chapter 7. Back to School with Levi's. Read by Mark, Class President Candidate.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Right now, Levi's jeans are guaranteed in stock at Sears. Or you get a free pair. That's right. Levi's in stock or you get a free pair. So vote for me, Mark Levin, for Class President.
All jeans are now on sale in the Sears Book and at Sears.com. Sears. Where it begins.
We'll ship your Levi's in 5 business days or they're free. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer good through 8-18-07.
A former American Idol is among the contestants on a new game show. ABC's Dave Alpert says it's part of a strategy that includes stunt casting.
This is the show where we ask the question, are you smarter than a 5th grader?
Is Clay Aiken smarter than a 5th grader? The American Idol second season runner-up has agreed to be a contestant on an upcoming episode of the Fox Quiz.
ABC's Dave Alpert reporting. What is more important to you? Is it sex or is it chocolate? Well, that depends on who you ask. Canadian researchers conducted a survey called Guys Just Don't Get It, and they surveyed more than 1,000 men and women. They found that for men, sex was 5 times more important than chocolate was. For women, it was definitely a tough call. The importance, according to women, was about the same. Nearly half the women said there are days they simply could not survive without it, meaning chocolate, of course. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Frangemeyer with your WGNU News update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, St. Clair County prosecutors plan to seek the death penalty in an East St. Louis murder case. 24-year-old Tiffany Hall is charged with killing Jamila Tunstall, her 3 children, and her unborn baby. Hall has pleaded not guilty to the charges of first-degree murder and intentional homicide of an unborn child. Police say that Hall had admitted to attacking Tunstall and cutting her fetus from the womb. Hall already faced a possible death sentence for the murders of the mother and unborn child, but now prosecutors want the death penalty for the murders of Tunstall's children as well. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich plans to make major changes to the state budget. Blagojevich announced Tuesday that he wants to cut $500 million from the budget that lawmakers approved and use the savings to expand health care programs. The decision has surprised many state lawmakers and angered some of them. Senate Republican leader Frank Watson says he doubts the move is legal and that it complicates an already chaotic budget process. Finally this hour, Joel Piniero pitched 7 strong innings, and the Cardinal hitters racked up 13 hits as St. Louis defeated the Brewers 8-3 in Milwaukee. Piniero held the first-place Brewers to 2 runs on 5 hits to earn the victory. Scott Rowland went 4-for-5 with a 2-run homer, and Albert Pujols and Jim Edmonds also hit home runs. The win leaves the Redbirds 3.5 games behind Milwaukee in the standings. The Cards go for the sweep this afternoon with Adam Wainwright making the start. Game time is 1:05. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Westbound 40 between Poplar Street Bridge and 20th. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an event at the Scott Trade Center. Eastbound 40 between Jefferson and 20th. Look for the same delays due to that event. Eastbound 44 from Van Deventer through Grand. Look for slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 364 at 94. And Veterans Bridge, look for an accident that's been cleared. That's east of the Upper Bottom Road. Westbound 40 between Hanley and Brentwood, look for road construction. Left lane's closed. Westbound 44 from Antire through Lewis Road, look for road construction there as well. There's a number of ongoing road projects. So just use caution. Give yourself a break and give the workers a break. Slow down through those work zones. Eastbound 70 at Riverview, look for the ramp to Riverview closed due to a water main break. And you can use Union or Kings Highway as an alternate there. Westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns, but everything is running smoothly in the 9 o'clock hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is running well into the landing at this hour. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Northbound 270 at 44, look for some delays, but everything should be on the move. Eastbound 70 from east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road is on the move. Northbound 55 at 255 is looking good this hour. And then again, from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for no problems to report there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. An excessive heat warning is in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, very hot, partly sunny with a chance of showers this afternoon. The high will be around 101 with the highest heat index being around 105 by late this morning, early afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers with a low in the mid-70s. Friday, hot, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, a good chance for showers with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 88 degrees and scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 86. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. Up next, more with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and as always, we have much business to tend to. This hour, we're going to take some time, and we're going to look at the Iraq War. I know we talk about the Iraq War frequently. We dissect it. We pull it apart. We draw conclusions, and we call for actions, and all of that is part of our discussion this morning. But I want to look at the Iraq War. I want to look at war as a daughter of a Green Beret, as a daughter of a retired colonel from the United States Army. I want to talk about the military from a woman's perspective. I want to talk about what happens to women. I want to talk about what others don't want to talk about with respect to women in the military. And I also want to talk about resistance to the military, resistance to the military ideology, resistance to what we are told every day is what we are supposed to do, and that is to submit without question or consideration. Let's talk about all of that this morning. I have joining me in the studio Ann Wright, a United States Army Reserve retired colonel and former U.S. diplomat, and I also have joining me Sarah Rich, the mother of specialist Suzanne Swift. And I want to start with you, Ann. I want to start with you because you are U.S. Army retired colonel. Talk to us about why did you get into the military?
Well, Liz, it's great to be here. We're all here with Veterans for Peace, a national organization of veterans, and I'm a 29-year veteran of the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the Army like so many young kids do, to escape something.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I grew up in Arkansas.
Okay.
And I wanted to escape Arkansas.
Okay.
And the Army recruiter came to town just like today, and this was back in the Vietnam War. Just like today in the Iraq War, the military recruiter comes to town and says, join the Army, see the world. Then they said, not Vietnam. And like today, many recruiters say, you won't go to Iraq. The military for me was something, a way to get the GI Bill, to get an opportunity to see if I could be a leader, to see if I could be a responsible person. I stayed with it for 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
I found it to be an organization that I could work within, that I felt like it was helping me grow, that the whole issue of doing national service for your country. So I stuck with it, and it wasn't easy as a woman. Back in the days when I joined, there were very few women in the military. Now we have, in various services, up to 17% for the Army are women. All during that time, though, there were always problems that you had to confront. Sexual harassment as a minimum,
mm-hmm.
and sexual assault, sexual abuse as the worst things. And now some of the things that we're finding out that are happening to women in our military is death of women by other soldiers after they've been raped.
And we're going to talk some more about that when we come back. We have to take a break. I'm talking to Ann Wright. She is a colonel, U.S. Army Reserves retired, and former U.S. diplomat. And Sarah Rich, the mother of specialist Suzanne Swift. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with us. A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Yes.
Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business, Seven Signs, 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Get in the house.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and before we get back to our guests, I want to remind everybody about a very important meeting on Wednesday, next Wednesday at 6 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. That's in St. Louis. The Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality will be holding a forum to discuss the lawsuits and the appeals that have been filed, why the present fire chief is under assault, and what's going on with Francis Slay's inability to meet with the 40% of the fire department. Be there 6 o'clock on Wednesday at 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor, Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality. There will be a meeting on Wednesday, 1020 North Taylor. You need to be there. And let me get back to my guest here. Ann Wright, Colonel U.S. Army Reserves and retired and former U.S. diplomat. We're talking on the way out about the things that women are experiencing in the military. Talk to us some more about, because I don't think that even in outside of the military, rape is something that people have a hard time talking about. Sexual assault is something that people have a hard time talking about. It's got to be different within the military when you're not supposed to talk about any of that stuff, and when you're ordered to talk, not talk about things like that. Talk to us about what we don't know.
Well, in a military environment, which is a very hierarchical environment and one that you protect your buddy, when your buddies do something to you, I mean, on one level you would say, well, it's the system ought to allow somebody to say something's happened to me and I need help. But in that system, it seems like we're finding that the ranks close around the minorities, and certainly women are the minority. They're the odd person out, so to speak, because there are so few of them. So we have this situation where perpetrators of rape are not being held accountable for it. Right now there's an investigation going on in the Air Force where three officers have admitted that they raped an underage 17-year-old airwoman. And
she's going to trial.
She's going to trial for drinking underage, and they've been given immunity.
That's right.
They just testify, yeah, I raped her, but I get immunity from it because I'm saying it. And that's one of the most stupid things I've heard.
And she's also getting prosecuted, not only for underage drinking, but for not saying it.
And for holding it back, yeah. Well, here we have, in a lot of other cases, I mean, we've got hundreds of women's stories now. You know, in 2006, there were just about 3,000 women, 2,947 women that reported being raped in the military. In 2005, 2,300. So we're getting more women that are at least acknowledging it and coming forward. But what happens to them is many times they become the victims of this whole thing again. Their careers are ruined. They're the ones that are thrown out. The perpetrators go untouched.
And let's talk about, we're not just talking about sexual assault. We're not just talking about sexual harassment. And talk to us about, I can hardly say this, gang rape?
Yes.
Talk to us about that statistic.
Well, these are hard things for me to say because I was in the military for 29 years, and I knew that there was from the 70s until I got out in 96, I mean, there were ups and downs. There were instances of military academies. All of a sudden, all sorts of things would break loose, big exposures of sexual assault and rape in
tailgate.
Military academies and tailgate for the Navy. But now it seems like we're getting more and more and more women that are willing to come forward to say that, yes, they were either raped multiple times, they were gang raped. A lot of the statistics are coming from the VA. They've done studies from women that were in the Vietnam War to the Gulf War area. Over 30% of those women are saying that they were raped while they were in the military. Of that percentage, I think it's 71% said that they were raped multiple times, and 30% of those said that they were gang raped. I mean, this is incredible, incredible. And that our own military chain of command, in my opinion, and as a colonel, this is hard for me to say again. I believe that there is complicity in the chain of command. If this was really a priority to prevent sexual assault and rape, you would see people being held accountable all the way up the chain. And right now, nobody is.
And you know what I'm feeling and thinking as you're saying this about the resistance of the military to deal with this, to acknowledge it, and to protect people that are committing this? I'm thinking of the same pedophile abuse of children within the Catholic Church with priests. Mm-hmm. Is that what this is?
Well, yeah, it's the whole issue of power and authority and people in that you respect, the ones you're trained to respect, your senior leaders, and that's what seems to be happening. It's the supervisors that are preying on the young women and men of the military. The untold story is how many men in the military are being raped. And it's not homosexual rape at all. It's heterosexual preying on other heterosexuals and using this as a dominance power play.
Mm. And so, who's going to tell that? I mean, think of all the barriers that are there naturally for men to even ever want to say something like that, let alone within the environment of the military.
Yes, that's right.
And so let me switch over here to Sarah Rich. Sarah, talk to us about your daughter.
My daughter joined the military when she was 18, and she, you know, just like Ann said, she had the same, I'm going to travel, I'm going to have college, I'm going to have an experience, and for the sweet deal of 5 years instead of three, she wouldn't be going to Iraq. Well, the first thing she did, she went to Iraq, and it was very interesting, the dynamic that kind of set me at ease. Is these men, these her platoon sergeant specifically and her squad leader came up to me and, you know, said, "Don't worry, ma'am, we're going to take really good care of your daughter." Well, the first thing that happened, you know, when she got to Kuwait to station for Iraq was her platoon sergeant, who is five steps above her, you know, she was totally intimidated. Here she is in Iraq. She's 19 years old. And he said, "You know, Swift, why you look at me like you want to, me? You know, what, like you want to have sex with me," I'll say it nicely.
Mm.
And, you know, her fear, and, you know, she went and told, you know, like she's supposed to, and nothing happened. Nobody came back to her. Nobody supported her. Well, at the same time, her squad leader was putting his arm around her like an uncle,
mm-hmm.
was saying, "Don't trust anybody but me. Everybody just wants to have sex with you. Don't trust, you know, just come to me if you need any help because I'm here for you." Well, the first day in Iraq, he is talking to her, and he says, "Swift, why you been talking to me all this time?" And she says, "Well, Sergeant, I thought we were just talking." And he grabbed her by the back of the neck and shoves his tongue down her throat. So this is something that we have a new type of sexual abuse in the military. It's called command rape. When somebody who has direct authority and life or death decision making over you in a combat zone, who coerces you into a sexual relationship. This man decided whether Suzanne ate or slept or worked or didn't, if she was wearing the proper armor to go out, because she did combat patrol in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
And he coerced her into such a relationship that she didn't want.
So he could say, "If you don't let me touch you, if you don't let me kiss you, if you don't let me do what I want to do to you sexually, then, oh, my goodness, we don't have any body armor for you today."
Well, and what he did say is, you know, if somebody's going to be walking through that landmine first, it'll be you, Swift. And you look like you're going to tell somebody what's going on. And just so you know, I've written you up so many times, because he would just start writing her up for anything. But he wouldn't do it directly. He would do it indirectly. So she had a stack of paperwork making it look like she was a lazy soldier. Or, you know, she was a bad soldier, because he wanted to, you know, make it look like it was retribution. So stacking the cards against her to the point where she felt, you know, at the end of her 1 year tour in Iraq, she felt like committing suicide because she was so beaten down. Her team leader, who was her direct supervisor, she told him what was going on, and he tried to protect her the best he could. And he even told her, somebody in an interview, she was the best soldier he had.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Sarah Rich, the mother of specialist Suzanne Swift, Anne Wright, Colonel U.S. Army Reserves, retired, and a former U.S. diplomat. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to stay with us. We'll be back to continue our conversation. Have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's
Golden and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about Strategies for Building Wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm.
And I'm Lizbeth Tan.
Join us Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU.
Randy and I discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions,
such as animal welfare and environmental issues,
and answer your questions about pet care. It's 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week with me, Lizbeth Tan.
And me, Randy Grimm. That's Animal Tales.
Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you a song.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Sarah Rich, the mother of specialist Suzanne Swift, and also Ann Wright, a U.S. Army Reserves retired colonel and former U.S. Diplomat. And I'd like to continue my conversation with you, Sarah, talking about your daughter, Suzanne. I'm just, it's just chilling. It's just chilling to the bone to hear your words, and I cannot imagine as a mother what you went through knowing this. How did you find out about this?
Well, Suzanne was telling me everything that was going on with these sergeants. She was telling me about what they were doing. She wasn't telling me about her combat experiences being shot out, you know. She would tell me about deaths and seeing dead people and the Iraqi interpreter who had his head chopped off that was her friend. You know, she would tell me those kind of things, but she didn't tell me the day-to-day details of the combat that she experienced. She told me what these men were doing to her, and so I started gathering up a file, and finally, in November, she was...
What do you tell your daughter? When your daughter calls
Hold
you...
on. Oh. Hold on. You're going to be all right. What can I send you? What can I do? And finally, I said, you know, I have a state... I have a federal congressman who is going to help you. You have to sign a Privacy Act waiver. She says, Mom, that is so dangerous. You don't understand what would happen if I told... while I'm here. So I just try to keep her alive. That's what you do.
So you didn't send it?
I couldn't send it. She said, no way, don't do that. But you don't understand what would happen to me. So I don't send it. And when she comes back in February of 2005, I said, now can we do something? She says, Mom, I have to redeploy with these guys in 18 months. You don't understand. It's not safe. You know, you have to know that for somebody that has been sexually abused, especially in the military, the shame and the betrayal and the, you know, it's very shameful for her.
But isn't it, it's almost like a different kind of shame that another rape victim would feel, because
yeah.
you're in this place where everybody knows that they're making you do this.
Right, and you're a soldier.
Yeah, and you're
a soldier. You're a soldier. My daughter is a soldier. She's a proud soldier. And for this to be happening to her, you know, she felt guilty. She felt like it was her fault. And, you know,
How did she feel like it was her fault?
Because she didn't scream, because she didn't tell people, you know, tell enough people. You know, she didn't do the formal complaint mm-hmm. process because she was scared to death. You know, and in her last couple months in Iraq, she felt suicidal. She said that she'd wake up every morning and promise herself that she was going to tell today, and every night she'd let herself down.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things for me to think about. So when she was getting ready to be redeployed to Iraq, mm-hmm. You know, she kind of shoved everything under the carpet. I'm not going to deal with it. You know, most victims of military sexual abuse would rather chew glass than talk about what happened to them. So she was getting ready to go. It was 3 days before she was going to be redeployed to Iraq. And she had her keys in her hand, was heading back to Fort Lewis. And she looked at me and she says, "I can't do it, Mom. I can't go back." And I said, "Good, let's get you out of there." Because I knew what she had gone through at a real deep level. Because, you know, on some level, I was feeling the emotion and feeling the feelings for her, because it wasn't safe for her to feel those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually also a family therapist, so I understand post-traumatic stress disorder and military sexual trauma. So we got her an attorney, got her a psychologist who said, yeah, PTSD, military sexual trauma, you know.
Well, define that military sexual trauma for us. What is that?
Well,
is it new? Is this a new concept?
It's not new. It's not new, but it's unknown mm-hmm. to many people, especially people that don't understand military dynamics. And military sexual trauma is a deep, it's got the betrayal element in it, because the people that you're working, you know, your battle buddies are your life. You depend on each other for your very life, especially in a combat zone. So when you have orders from somebody, and somebody is more than an employer, it's like a parent in a way, because they are responsible for your very well-being, your life, your health and safety and mm-hmm. well-being. So that's why military sexual trauma is so deep and so different than, you know, I mean, I think that any kind of sexual trauma is abhorrent mm-hmm. and intense. But military sexual trauma adds a whole other honor and betrayal aspect to it that is very significant and very...
I would imagine, Sarah, that under military sexual trauma... within the just being at Fort Lewis and working at Fort Lewis is one thing, but military sexual trauma when you're at war
in a combat zone,
it's got to be something absolutely different than that.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know, so many people are coming back with, you know, such severe post-traumatic stress disorder and military sexual trauma and betrayal trauma. It's just very, very intense, because the fear on both fronts, it's like you can't trust anybody. And I think that's one of the things that Suzanne experienced. So we didn't say anything until the police came to our house and arrested my daughter for going AWOL mm. in the middle of the night, you mm. know, took her away in handcuffs. And I said, "Now can I say something?" And she says, "Yeah, now say something." And I've been doing most of the speaking, because for her to talk about it, she would rather, like I said, chew glass than
but
talk
how
about
do you,
it.
How do you help someone? How does your daughter get help if the very first step in something like this, that assault that has been committed against you, the first thing is to talk about it. So if she can't talk about it, how does she get help?
Right. She talks to the people she trusts, and I'm one of those people.
Is she getting
no.
Why?
Because the last therapist she saw from the Army told her it was obvious she didn't want to get better, and good luck.
Another betrayal.
And she called me in absolute frantic tears, you know, telling me what this person said. And so, you know, I'm the kind of mama that talks to her kid 5-6 times a day, mm-hmm. and that's what I do. And just keep her alive until she gets out of the military.
So where is she now, physically, where is she now?
Hopefully on a plane here.
Okay.
But
how long did she, when they took her away to jail, how long did she sit in jail?
30 days. She was in the prison, and during Christmas this last year. So mm-hmm. I missed another Christmas. You know, one was when she was in Iraq, and now another when she was in prison. And now they won't let her out of the military until, you know, her time is up in January 2009, and we're just trying to keep her alive and find good things in her life until then.
Colonel Wright, is this an argument for women shouldn't be in the military?
No, not at all. I mean, women have every right and
obligation. Well, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I asked the wrong question. Is this an argument that men shouldn't be in the military?
There you go. Yeah, right. That's right. I mean, what we want are law-abiding citizens of this country to serve their country, and one service is in the military. But by being in the military doesn't mean that you are free to commit criminal acts. And that's what's happening here.
But the whole concept, what they teach you and tell you is that you are my property. So isn't that ideology, that mindset, a natural extension of a twisted, awful, abhorrent extension? But if you're telling these grunts, I own you, boy. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is man to man, I own you. So isn't an extension of that? I own you too, little girl.
Well, that's a very good point. But during basic training, you're also told that there are limits to all of this. But of course, it's done in an atmosphere where you have all these authority figures that are over you, and sometimes just common sense things you forget about them because you're in the Army now, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. To deal with this, doesn't there have to be a top to bottom reconfiguration of what it is to be a soldier?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The whole issue of accountability, responsibility, criminal actions. Starting from the very beginning, from recruitment. You know, all the scandals that we're having right now of recruiters that are raping young women as they come into the recruiting station. There are over 700 incidents of sexual assault by recruiters.
700 by recruiters?
By recruiters. In the year 2000, they had to have a stand down for a day in the recruiting command. And a day of ethics to go back to the recruiters to say...
I have to teach you not to rape somebody? I have to teach you not to
recruiting.
I have to teach you that.
Yes, yes. There's an incident just recently. A federal court in San Francisco has convicted two Marine recruiters of raping two young women in the Marine recruiting station. The military is having to pay $200,000 to these kids, and the federal judge has said that there has to be a disclaimer put in the recruiting station saying that if anything happens to you in here, tell us. Tell us the federal courts. Well, what I'm saying...
How are we driving?
Yeah.
Basically, that's what the phone number is. There's a phone mm-hmm. number in the offices saying, call us because we have to put this phone number here because
there are
this
so
stuff is
many.
Happening.
Yeah. Well, and I think there ought to be something else there. I think it should be a responsibility of the U.S. military to put on their recruiting stations warnings. Warnings to women. One in three women will be raped if you join the military.
Mm.
This should be truth telling of what really is going on. And the recruiters are a real big part of this whole problem.
And, Sarah, what would you say if somebody came up to you today and said, Sarah, my daughter wants to join the Army?
Well, I would say to them exactly what I was saying to Suzanne when she joined the Army. And what I do is I connect these young women and men with my daughter to have the conversations with her because she's been there. You know, I can talk as a mother to mother and tell them my experience and what happened in my... Because I'm not anti-military. I was raised by a grandpa who was a colonel in the U.S. Army and another, my granddaddy, who's a sergeant in the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't anti-military, but I want people to be aware of the statistics that only 2% of people that rape get prosecuted in the U.S. Army, you know, whereas in normal society out here, civilians would be labeled a sex offender and they'd be registered and they would be held accountable for the rest of their lives.
Well, what happens to a soldier, a male soldier that is convicted of rape? What kind of rules and regulations apply to those men? Is it different than what happens to men out here outside of the military?
That's right.
It should not be different. In fact, the military has strong regulations, except the regulations are not followed. The majority of people that are, well, from 1992, the statistics that the Denver Post put out, 5,000 accused rapists in the military have not been prosecuted at all.
Mm.
The majority of people, if they're court-martialed, they get very light sentences. Many of them just get administrative punishment. They may get a demotion, but most of them are not prosecuted. And it's the same problem that women in civilian courts have, that they become the victims, that the accusations are not, in my opinion, many of these accusations are never properly investigated because it's the chain of command that has to investigate them. And so you have the same people that have perpetrated the crimes that are the ones that are coming back in as the investigators.
Right. And, Sarah, you were talking off-air about these new types of disorders that exist now. Talk to us about some of these.
Well, we have, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is the label that almost everybody comes back from combat with. And then we have military sexual trauma, which is, you know, men and women both experience this because men and women are both being raped and sexually abused in the military. And that goes really deep because when you're a soldier, you have an honor and you have a duty and all these things. And when you are raped, you are weak. You know, and believe me, I'm not saying people are weak. That is the feeling that people have, or the what people see in others that have been raped. Oh, you must be weak. You must not have fought hard enough. You know, they blame the victim,
mm-hmm.
And that is what's happening repeatedly. Is everybody's blaming the victim? You know, we have victims like my daughter who was, you know, court-martialed and put in prison. We have perpetrators who are, you know, scrubbing floors as a punishment. You know,
we have what I'm hearing from you, Sarah, is this extraordinary thing. Of, it's like trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma because coming back from Iraq,
right.
there's already trauma involved in that. So it's almost like as a rape victim that you have to put that trauma aside, go find a special little closet to stuff that one in.
Well, and let me tell you,
I've
been speaking all over the country, and every time I speak, I look in the audience and I can see the big eyes, and I know those big eyes are the people that have the same thing happen to them. And every time they come up, and I haven't thought about this in 30 years, they say, but that same thing happened to me.
Mm.
30 years. And we never dealt with it because it was too much. And they're in tears and they shake. What can I do? Because they don't want it to happen to another soldier. And that's my mission, is not let another soldier go through what my daughter went through.
We're going to take a break. We will be back. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the events that you can attend while the Veterans for Peace Convention takes place here in our city. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back. Stay with us.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion T-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion T-shirts and softball team T-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous T-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your T-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My conversation this hour is with Ann Wright. She's a retired colonel, U.S. Army Reserves, and former U.S. diplomat. Also, Sarah Rich, the mother of Specialist Suzanne Swift, is joining us this morning. And they are here as part of Veterans for Peace. The convention is taking place here in St. Louis. And I just want to give you some opportunities to go down and to participate in some of the events that Veterans for Peace are having tonight or today from 11 to noon. They have the opening ceremony, and there will be some women's caucuses that take place from 12 to 1, afternoon workshops from 1 to 5:15, and then in the evening, you're going to have a wonderful opportunity. David Courtwright is going to be speaking. He's been on my show many times. He's a wonderful, wonderful, knowledgeable person, and you will enjoy that discussion. And the event is taking place. Where are you all downtown?
We're at the Holiday Inn.
At the Holiday Inn downtown. So is there any particular event that you all would like to direct people to?
Well, on Friday night, we have an event at one of the churches, and it is a public forum, and we really do invite everyone in St. Louis to come to it. I believe it's at the Centenary Church.
Okay, that's on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good.
7 o'clock.
Friday at 7 o'clock. And I just have to get back to you again, Sarah, because this is just so disturbing on so many levels and so hurtful on so many levels. And as a woman, you know, you just feel that extra thing when we're talking about women being abused and women being raped and women having to respond to this kind of attempt at inflicting power on them. This is so prevalent that there are words that they use, phrases that they use to describe a woman being under the thumb of another soldier.
Well, a story came back to me actually from a couple different sources that a lot of these NCOs, these sergeants who have all the power and control over in Iraq, they have little contests to see which of them can make which private their private. Mm-hmm. And these are called deployment girlfriends, is what we hear, because, you know, a lot of these men are married.
And isn't that just disgusting that they add the word girlfriend to it? Like, this is an equal footing relationship, that you have a rapist relationship.
Right. Suzanne's molester. Her molester, I always call him the molester. He asked her one night. He said, "So when we get back to the States, would you, you know, can we still see each other?" And she said, "Are you kidding me? I think you're ugly and I hate you." I wouldn't have a relationship with you. Are you kidding me? And that was at the point where he finally said, and then he started punishing her because he understood how she really felt about him.
And then there's the other phrase, what is that, the private, my private, private?
Well, which one of them can make which private their private? Because these guys can determine where these young women live. You know, they can get them in their, you know, have their own rooms so they're easily accessible.
And, you've been to Washington, D.C. You've talked to elected officials about this. What's been the response?
Well, we've had conversations with the staffs of both the Senate and the House Armed Services Committee, the Senate and the House Veterans Committee. There were hearings that were held in 2005. We want them to hold more hearings on the whole issue.
Hearings on what?
It was testimony on sexual assault and rape. I mean, this is well documented over the years. I mean, there are something like 40 studies that have been done on sexual assault.
Okay, so they have these hearings. So what was the plan?
They've created policies. They've created procedures. But the thing is, nobody follows them. It's discretionary. It's the command's decision how they're going to follow through with these policies and procedures. So everything's in place. They have all these, you know, nice hotlines and all this stuff available, but they don't understand the mindset of people that are actually following supposedly following the orders or not following the orders, more importantly, in the military. And I think that is where it comes down to, is the command having this choice of how they are going to deal with this problem, you know. And usually what they do is they shut the victim up by going after them and trying to prosecute them and move the guys to a different unit and nobody knows where they are. Let's talk about the Marines in Okinawa, you know, raping these young girls. And they, I mean, we had a film crew from Japan, you know, and they made a film called Marines Go Home. Go home, because they are raping their young women and nobody is held accountable. They disappear, you know, because they can just disappear into the, you know, we don't know how to track that.
So what is Suzanne doing now? What is Suzanne facing now? Where is she?
Well, I don't talk about where she is because of the death threats.
You get death threats.
Death threats. People offering to be part of her firing squad.
You have personally gotten death threats?
Oh, yeah. And I go around with them. You know, sometimes I ignore it and throw them away. You know, we want to gang rape you. We want to do this. Oh, it's horrible, the emails and the mails, and it's just horrible, the stuff that we've gotten. You know, that's
so your line about being molested and I'm going to gang rape you to prove that you're lying. Is that basically what we're hearing?
Well, they're saying she's a traitor, you know, because that is the thing. You know, if you tell on your battle buddy or you tell on somebody, you're seen as a traitor because you are not, you are breaking rank. You're not doing what you're supposed to do, which is follow orders.
So what is she facing now?
She's still in the military. She's at a new base with a new military occupational specialty. She's not anonymous. Everybody knows me. She has a combat patch, the name Swift, and she has no rank. They stripped her of her rank. She's facing 16 more months, and then we're going to try to rebuild her life.
You left the military? Why?
Well, I retired from the military.
Okay.
I stayed in 29 years.
Okay.
One of the things I'd like to mention, though, is that this whole issue of what happens if you do speak out. Women have been raped and then found dead later. We have the instance of Tina Priest, who was raped, and 10 days later she was found dead in Iraq. Another woman, 17 days later, found dead in the same base. We have the instance of Lavina Johnson right here in your own community,
mm-hmm.
where...
Her father just came back with some more news. Talk to us about that.
Yes, I spoke with him earlier this week, and I was stunned by the, all of the materials that they now have that have been slowly drug out of the Department of the Army about what happened to his daughter. And
what about the numbers of other women? Did he have some statistics?
Yes, indeed. He's saying that in the investigations that they are doing, that of the about 75 women who have been killed in Iraq, 8 of them have been killed or found dead under very strange circumstances. You know, a lot of there are women that who've been classified as suicides.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Tina Priest was classified mm-hmm. as a suicide. First, they were saying that she pulled
the... Well, classified as a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those women are small in stature.
Mm-hmm.
The Army is saying that, yes, they could hold the M16 at a certain angle and they could pull the trigger with the finger. Well, Tina Priest's mother has gotten an independent ballistics expert who said, impossible.
And so does... And in fact, I had Lavinia's father on the show, and he said, there's no way that my daughter has the reach to do what they said that she did.
That's right. Yeah, so there are some cover-ups going on that, I mean, from...
Well, if they would cover up Tillman's, Tillman, then what does anybody else have coming at him?
Well, that's right.
Well, and that's exactly why when I read Lavina Johnson's story and I'm reading these stories, it's chilling me to the bone because that, you know, here I am encouraging my daughter to tell,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that she could have died, you know, either,
mm-hmm.
you know, by her own hand because she was so scared or by these molesters' hands. And that's why, you know, we put Lavina's case and everything on Suzanne's website.
What is the address there?
SuzanneSwift.org. That's SuzanneSwift.org. And, you know, that is why we are still speaking out, why we're continually trying to get this, you know, uncover what's really happening.
And Ann, if you could go into the military tomorrow and everybody did exactly what Colonel Ann Wright said, what would you put in place to make certain that this wouldn't happen again?
I would put in independent investigators who would go into anywhere there's an allegation of a rape, sexual assault. It would not be the chain of command that would investigate it. That from the Pentagon, I would have teams that would be ready to fly anywhere in the world where these allegations are occurring, and then I would hold accountable commands that seem to be unable to impress upon members of their command that criminal actions will be dealt with in courts, and that you court-martial enough of these folks. You know, proper investigations for sure,
mm-hmm.
But you've got to court-martial them, and you've got to show them that the military means business, that we have no tolerance at all for criminal actions, rape of other service members or members of the community in which they serve.
And just like any person, they would be labeled as a sex offender for the rest of their lives and held accountable and tracked.
And because that doesn't happen if you manage to somehow get convicted through the military.
No.
And would there be an extra type of punishment under because of the circumstances that, you know, like there are laws that say that if you kill a police officer, you get a certain amount of fixed time. Should there be extra penalties for a commander doing that to a subordinate?
Well, I would certainly think so, yes. I mean, here the trust of these young people in the hands of the commanders and the sergeants, it's a special responsibility. And when those responsibilities are failed, and failed in this way, which is a power trip of sexual criminal actions on people, they should be prosecuted.
And kicked out of the military.
And kicked out.
Lose
yeah.
their careers.
That's right.
And a press conference also. To let people know that he's out of here and he's headed your way.
Yes.
I want to thank you both, Ann Wright, Sarah Rich, for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really
Thanks.
Appreciate it. This is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening. And you know the deal. Stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below